Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT special number 331, recorded Monday, June 4th, 2018. Apple's WWDC Keynote 2018. This TWiT Live special is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Flexible, entertaining training for your IT career. Visit go.itpro.tv/WWDC and use the code WWDC to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to our annual Apple Day 2018. It's WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, and in just a few minutes, Tim Cook will take the stage and rock and roll. What's that? Is that the Apple feed? Oh, it just started. All right, we're watching the feed. And as usual, what we're going to do is we're going to stream the feed on our stream. You'll be able to watch it. But a word of warning, there will be commentary and speculation, and we're going to annotate it. And that's what we do. But if you want to watch the feed, you can go to Apple's site directly and watch it in Safari or on your Apple TV, right? They have an Apple TV thing. Let me introduce my co-host for the day and for life, Megan Maroney.
I don't think I signed up for life.
I can't seem to shake her. She's the host, of course, of iOS Today, which we'll be doing tomorrow to talk about anything they announced today, and of Tech News Weekly every Thursday with Jason Howell. And soon, I'm happy to say, Know How.
Yes, we're doing a 12-week season of Know How, IoT, Internet of Things.
Thanks. Father Robert, as most of you, I think, know, is returning to Rome. He's been called back. They keep pulling me in. And we have to replace him, unfortunately. But the good news is Megan's here, and you'll be joined by Florence Ion.
Yes.
And what we're going to do is a 12-week season. So the first season will be IoT. Then Jason Howell will take a 12-week season. I can't remember what he's doing.
I think it's still a secret.
Is it a secret? Mm-hmm. Okay. But each 12-week season will have a focus, which gives us a chance to really drill down on some particular topic. So, WWDC in San Jose, California should start in about 10 minutes. I'm going to show it because I love it. The homepage, apple.com/WWDC. Do you have my screen? Okay. Is very nice animation, very pretty animation. They did a very nice job of that, I think. There it is. Let me do it. I'll refresh it so you can see it. Ooh, pretty. But notice it's all software. There's no hardware. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things Mark Gurman talked about on Friday of last week, kind of a surprise. He says Apple will not show any hardware, will not announce any hardware. Last year they announced the HomePod, iMac Pro. They showed both. They also announced, the iMac Pro came out a few months later. The HomePod took a little longer, came out a few months ago. They also announced Messages in iCloud. That came out last week. They announced AirPlay 2 with stereo pairing and multi-room sound. That came out last week. So they don't have a great history of announcing stuff at WWDC and having it come out. They have, though, many years announced hardware. Mark says not this year. And I got a good theory from Greg Farrow yesterday on TWiT, Megan. He said the problem is Intel, which I kind of believe. Intel hasn't really been able to do anything great with its chips in some time. And he said the real issue is these new 6-core Intel processors, the i9, and there's an i7 as well, are available in sample quantities now. So some manufacturers are creating laptops, small numbers of laptops with them, but not in quantity till next year. And, of course, Apple would need quantity. It goes along with another technology that Intel announced a few years ago and is finally making available called Optane. It's a new form of 3D memory using something called cross-point technology. We were very excited about it when Intel announced it a few years ago. And it also, this Optane memory can also be your solid-state storage, and it's got a faster bus. And the two together, the 6-core processors and this Optane optimization, would make, I think, a big difference for pros on laptops. And so I think Apple would probably very much like to do a new MacBook Pro based on these chips. But without having any chips available, at least in quantity, they can't. So I thought that was a – I hadn't heard that, but I thought that was a good theory from Greg Farrow as to why Apple may not have hardware to announce.
Because we heard some low-end hardware might be announced, like the SE 2, the iPhone SE 2. I had heard that rumors about that. But even the low-end phones have the high-end chips these days.
Like, well, it also shows you how worthless the Apple rumor mill really is. Now, I have to say, we're reporting on a rumor that they're not going to announce anything.
Right.
And the rumors were that they might do it. Yeah, the SE and new iPads and new MacBooks. But I think it's really hard for anybody outside of Apple to guess what Apple's really going to do. So we may see some surprises. Do you have a bingo card for today's broadcast?
I don't, just in my mind. But yeah, I think they're going to talk a lot about the iOS 12, obviously.
We know there'll be that, yeah.
And not so many fancy new things in iOS 12, but maybe just have it work.
That would be good.
So we'll see about that. Are you going to install, like if they have a beta, are you going to install iOS 12?
I don't usually do betas. It's funny because that you asked that, because I did put Android P on my Google Pixel phone, but I don't really want to install betas on my iPhone. So
what about your iPad? I usually use one. I have two
sometimes
iPads.
I don't have an extra. Well, I guess I do have an extra iPad. Here's the bingo card provided to us by Cult of Mac. Game demo. So the idea, you know this, right? You put a marker on when something happens, and if you wish, you can involve adult beverages. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. Game demo, excited Phil Schiller, a slightly thinner redesign. I don't think we're going to see. You know what? Let me annotate.
Oh, good.
Shall I do that?
Yeah.
I'm sure that we'll see an excited Phil Schiller. I think you can guarantee that. Don't think we'll see a slightly thinner redesign. Mac Pro update, are we kidding?
Tech demo goes wrong. That's the one I like to see.
Changing the world? Sure. A ridiculous making of engineering video? Well, without any hardware, no reason. Shigeru Miyamoto make the genius at Nintendo makes an appearance? Absolutely not. Well, you know what? Maybe, come to think of it.
Well, because games, you were talking yesterday on Twit about games being so popular right now, services being, you know, the place. And, you know, if there are probably a lot of game developers, iOS game developers there.
All right. Game demo and Miyamoto. How about that? Mm-hmm. Music is at our very core. No. Tim Cook uses his Apple Watch during a demo. Possibly. We'd heard rumors that there'll be a new Apple Watch later this year. This would be a time to talk about watchOS, perhaps. But no demo.
Does new he MacBooks? Usually do no. demos? He usually talks about the...
Yeah. Lies about how good battery life is. Well, fortunately, without any hardware, there's no reason to lie. Mentioning how nationally diverse the crowd of developers is. Guaranteed. And it is. Actually, that's one of the things Apple's done so well. They really have made the App Store a mecca for developers. And they make a ton of money. I was looking at the stats for the first 3 months of 2018 on how much third-party developers are making in the App Store. What do you think the number one game in the App Store is?
It's not the PUBG. But
you're right, Fortnite. That's what you were thinking of.
Yes.
$1.5 million a day. A day.
That's a lot.
They make on that.
On
a
outfits.
Day. And it's not, it's not to make you better at the game. It's not weapons. It's outfits. Digital. Okay, someone goofs up on stage. I don't know. One more thing? Definitely not.
They're done with the one more thing. No more things.
No. Tech demo goes wrong. Possibly. Awkward handshake hug. Well, is Bono there today?
Oh, no.
We don't know. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Definitely iOS adoption rates. Our best X ever? No. We really think you're going to love it? Not today. Mm. Tim Cook pauses, of course, for an awkwardly long amount of time. Available today? Nope. Apple original TV show announcement? That's an interesting one. Yeah. What do you think?
Maybe. Have all the announcements that we've heard about been rumors?
No, there were no rumors. They've been pretty forthright about these. And because they're making deals with Hollywood stars who cannot keep their mouths shut.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to say yes. No on drunk at EQ.
Possibly drunk. How can you prove that?
And a snide joke about Android? Oh, definitely. So there's our bingo card. You know what? Let's keep that around and we'll see.
Okay, I love it.
I'll annotate as we go. Hey, I want to thank IT Pro TV. When we told them that we were going to do the WWDC event, and it's going to start in just a couple of minutes, they said, hey, can we just buy it out. We want all the ads to be IT Pro TV, and I'm thrilled to do it. If you have not heard us talk about it, I don't know where you've been. I love Tim and Don, the founders. They kind of modeled IT Pro TV on Tech TV and also Twit. The idea was they did IT training, helped people get certs so they could get jobs in IT, help people get better at different skills so they could get better jobs or more money in IT. They'd always done that, but then they said, what if we did it like Twit? What if we did a internet TV station and create new content every week, have a library of on-demand, cover all the major subjects, all the major certs, and IT Pro TV was born. We've been advertising for them since day one, and I am so proud of them. They have done such a great job. It's the place to go to sharpen your IT skills, to pass the most in-demand certifications. And by the way, their Apple stuff is great. If you're an Apple fan, you'll really appreciate this. From Mac management basics to Apple certified support professionals, they've got you covered. 4,000 hours now of binge-worthy on-demand training, 125 new hours every week. You can watch live or on-demand on your Roku, your Amazon Fire TV, your PC. They have iOS apps. They have Android apps. Now, let me tell you, they've done something very special just because of this WWDC. They are, for the month of June, offering more than 57 hours of Apple IT training free. Normally, the free basic account, you go, you watch live. You're limited in what you can study because it's just whatever they're recording live at the moment. Now, they do 125 hours a week. But they're going to throw in another 57 hours of pre-recorded Apple IT training content. This month only, you got to go to IT Pro TV. Okay? Here's the address. go.itpro.tv/WWDC. Use the offer code WWDC. Get started on your Apple certified support professional or Apple certified associate cert. go.itpro.tv/WWDC for a free 7-day trial. And when you use the code WWDC, 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. And Tim and Don called this morning. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw in the 57 hours of training for the month of June free as part of your basic membership. They also have fantastic corporate memberships. If you have a team, Harvard University did this. They signed up the whole IT team at Harvard. That's, I think, hundreds of people to take classes at IT Pro TV. You take a look at their team portal. It's awesome. 100,000 members. They've updated the numbers. 4,000 hours of content. go.itpro.tv/WWDC. Use a promo code WWDC at checkout. What's going on? All we're seeing on the screen from Apple right now is a bunch of icons. Now, the music that they play right up to the end, I think, is important. What's this? Here we go. Probably the last song. What am I taking? Oh, the bingo card. All right. I actually have a digital bingo card. I've got my bingo card filled out. Do you?
Yes. I do have it filled out right here.
This is at the McHenry Auditorium in San Jose. It's a nice venue. I took the EST training there in 1978.
That explains so much. It really does.
And I saw the Kinks there in 1980, I think it was.
So yeah. First, that S really worked.
So I know the McHenry Auditorium by heart. It's a really nice place, downtown San Jose. Lots of geeks there. We know Rene Ritchie's out there. I've been watching his flight across the country. Serenity Caldwell is there.
I got a lot of FOMO. On Twitter.
I know. On Instagram, seeing all the pictures. Justine, she's streaming live. She went down to Apple Park yesterday. A lot of people did that. I bet Apple Park was fun.
And we have no excuse because now there's the Alt Conference as well. Like, you can just go down there and...
just stand outside and...
well, you could do that.
Sad.
You could always do that.
What's one the Alt Conference?
It's another conference that's going down for the people because it's so hard to get tickets now to WWDC to get in. It's not just us they're not inviting. Wow. It's other people as well. And so there's another conference that is going on at the same time that has, you know, it's just a double conference, an extra.
That's great. So. I think Apple, do they not? I'm pretty sure they put all the conference stuff out later as video.
Probably.
Although in the old days at WWDC, the journalists would be invited to the keynote, what we're about to see. And then kicked out unceremoniously. I've had this happen to me. It's just for developers from now on. And the reason being, there's a lot of kind of secret stuff. So a lot of the tracks at WWDC are not named because they don't want people to investigate and see what's coming up. We're going to see the new Mac OS. The rumor is, based on that screenshot from Stephen Trout and Smith, Apple accidentally posted a video a couple of days ago, that it will be called OS 10 Mojave. Let's add that.
Oh, Mojave.
Add that to the bingo card.
Now, what do you think this screen that we're looking at that has all these different
Do you know
apps?
All those? Do you reckon? I mean, you're the host of iOS
Today.
Well,
they're not all apps. Like, there's that picture of the boy with one eye.
What is that?
That's a book cover from Wonder, which is also a movie.
Maybe it's an app.
I don't know.
Like those are all apps. Oh, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen. My Ring video doorbell.
Is it ready to start the show?
We go to the McHenry Convention Center. He was a mayor of San Jose about the time they built this. And we're waiting for Tim Cook to take the stage. Is that Frozen? And you're on. Okay, the Apple TV is picking it up, and we're seeing a video of Apple Park right now. Can we pilk that up instead? Oh. Here we go. Here's the video.
Northern California's Bay Area. Here is the stage for a truly remarkable natural occurrence.
Great Sir David, not Attenborough.
A great migration is made by one of the world's most mysterious species.
I hope this is tongue-in-cheek.
To reach this utopian destination, these unique mammals will instinctively embark on a nomadic journey from all corners of the world. This is the developer's triterapsis, or as it is more commonly known, the developer.
With the infinity scarf, that's true.
11.5 months of hibernation has taken its toll. And the sun is harsh as these nocturnal cave-dwelling creatures must greet daylight.
Brilliant.
For most, this momentous migration is their first, while for a select few, the pilgrimage is a time-honored tradition.
Look at Jim Dalrymple.
Originating in the remote garage,
real tip of the hat.
The beard.
Developers evolved at an unprecedented speed.
Look at all the ears.
To understand how, we must observe them here in their sacred temple. And so it begins.
Nice new jackets.
As developers congregate at the event, access to the herd can be hard to come by. For some, blending in is easier said than done. To distinguish themselves, developers identify each other through decorative tribal symbols.
Pins.
These
extraordinary
plumages are designed to entice and attract. Here, a pack of rogue younglings at play. The safety of numbers allows them to... Oh, wait a moment. They have now entrapped an indigenous silver-crested king developer. Although tempting, one may look at but not touch the mane.
Craig Federighi.
The feeding frenzy at the great gathering. Moving in like a pack of famished piranhas, this frugal breed will spare no morsel. Those who can pull rank on prime cuts. The event culminates in what is known as the keynote.
Shot this
as the doors open, a behavioral anomaly.
No, I mean, but there's real developers.
Clearly, no actors look like that.
Battling to secure a coveted front row seat. Following the ceremony, the latest beta software is unleashed. Its nature at its cruelest. Only the strongest apps will survive. The many languages of the developer are a mystery to modern science. Just look at these letters, symbols, formulas, and mumbled jargon. Only these enlightened shamans can decode their true meaning.
This is brilliant.
The creative bonds formed during the Great Migration will enable these geniuses to unlock our future world.
Somebody's saying this is a Stephen Fry.
A species scientist will continue to study for millennia.
Well done. Well done. Brilliant. That's the best I've ever seen. That's fantastic. And now we go to the theater jam. There's Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, taking the stage.
Good morning. Good morning. I hear the student developers. Good morning and welcome to WWDC 2018. It is great to be back in San Jose with everyone. We have developers here from all over the world this morning, from 77 countries. That's more than ever before.
Is that I think qualifies as mentioning how nationally diverse the crowd is.
And I couldn't be happier to announce that we now have over 20 million Apple developers around the world.
Wow.
That's more than ever before.
A lot of money there.
We've got 6,000 folks in the hall this morning. Welcome. And many millions more watching online. Now, the way that developers get to share their amazing work is through the App Store. Your creativity and hard work have made the App Store the best place to get the very best apps. Next month, the App Store turns 10.
The iPhone turned 10, of course, this year.
In these 10 years,
took about 8 months to get the App Store up.
Fundamentally changed the way we all live. It's enabled countless new companies, created tens of millions of jobs, spawned entirely new industries, and it has forever changed our lives.
A year and a few months later.
The App Store is the world's largest app marketplace. And we now welcome over 500 million weekly visitors. This is mind-blowing.
For some
it's
of them,
the most
hit it every day trying to find updates.
That the world has ever seen. We're also happy to announce that this week we're going to achieve another huge milestone. The money that developers have earned through the App Store will top $100 billion.
Wow. Remember, Apple gets 30%. It's $30 billion to Apple.
The App Store is clearly the best place for you to be rewarded for your hard work and creativity. Now, at Apple, we know that developers are a powerful group of creators, that they can achieve and they can develop anything that they can imagine with their code. We want more people to learn the power of code. And it all starts
for a bingo
with Swift
card moment.
And Swift Playgrounds. We created Swift to make it easy, to make it so easy to learn to code that it was pretty easy as our products are to use. Swift is extremely popular. In fact, it's the fastest
the
growing
still
programming
open,
language out there.
Kind of confirms
now,
it probably
Apple
isn't
developers
any hardware.
Are already using it in huge numbers. In fact, over 350,000 apps have been written in Swift on the App Store. Now, we believe that coding is an essential skill and believe it should be offered by every school in the world. Now, learning to code has so many benefits. It develops problem-solving and critical thinking skills. That's why we created Everyone Can Code, with free teaching and learning resources so that everyone could learn to code. It's been so successful and is now available to tens of millions of students around the world. Just imagine what this new generation of coders will create. Whatever it is, I'm sure that it's going to change the world. At Apple, changing the world and making it a better place is what it's all about for us. We aim to put the customer at the center of everything that we do. That's why, together with you, the developer community, we're working hard to provide new and better experiences for our customers to help them live a better day. And these experiences, of course, are expressed through our four amazing platforms. Today is all about software, and we've got some very exciting updates across all four platforms.
iOS, watchOS, tvOS, and macOS.
We're going to get started with iOS. iOS embodies our philosophy of putting the customer at the center of everything that we design. Every year, we deliver a major iOS update that brings awesome new features that will impact the world. To tell you all about what we had planned for this year, I'd like to introduce Craig Federighi. Craig.
He seems a little stressed, a little tense, a little nervous. I'm not sure why.
All right.
Not his usual relaxed self.
Well, our next big release of iOS is, you guessed it, iOS 12.
Craig's hair on the other hand is fully relaxed.
Our customers, of course, are going to receive iOS 12 as a free software update. Now, it's easy to forget now, but iOS pioneered this approach of helping you get more out of the device you already own through free updates. And some of those updates have been really quite profound, like the App Store, giving us a whole new way to discover and download apps. It itself was delivered via software update, as were the folders we used to organize those apps. And can you imagine living without Find My iPhone?
It's showing a...
Or iMessage, with its end-to-end
iPhone.
Securely encrypted messaging. Or the revolution in iPad productivity with slide over, split view, and drag and drop. Or AR, changing the way we interact with the world around us, all delivered via software updates. And of course, we want to get these improvements to as many of our customers as possible. iOS 11 supports devices that were introduced as far back as 2013, like the iPhone 5S. And we just love the way customers race to update to our newest releases. In fact, half of our customers upgraded to iOS 11 in just 7 weeks. It's incredible.
Microsoft's claiming a similar figure for 1803.
Now, as we stand here today, 81% of our over a billion active iOS devices are running our latest release. And now,
that's
when you look at
a billion devices on iOS 11.
Well, it's hard to say they really
And there's
have
the snarky reference to Android. You can cross that off your bingo card. We're
so
keeping track.
iOS has the fastest adoption of any operating system. But what's much more important to us is customer satisfaction. And we're thrilled to report that customer sat for iOS 11 is at 95%.
We all have different bingo cards. That way we won't get bingo at the same time.
Now, delivering all of these features across such a wide range of devices while maintaining high performance is a challenge we take really seriously. And so for iOS 12, we are doubling down on performance.
So this is what we'd heard. Craig got the team together and said, we're going to make 12 better, not new features.
Top to bottom, making improvements to make your device faster and more responsive. And because we want these changes to be available to the full range of our customers, iOS 12 will be available on all the same devices as iOS 11.
Wow, going all the way back to the 5S.
This is the largest base
That's
ever
a big
supported
deal.
By an Apple release. And we're focusing our efforts especially on the oldest devices. And while it's still early days, we're really pleased with some of the results we're seeing. And so I'd like to share some with you. And I'm going to use an example of a popular phone from a few years ago. This is the iPhone 6 Plus. Now, on that device, iOS 12 delivers a number of improvements across common operations.
So we've got quite a few bingo cards items crossed off here.
Changing the world.
The keyboard can
iOS 11 adoption rates.
Faster, and you can slide to take a photo at up to 70% faster. Now, our deepest focus this year is optimizing the system when it's under load. And that's where you need performance the most and where iOS 12 really shines. Now, we've put iOS 12 through our stress test, and we saw in those conditions ShareSheet coming up twice as fast and apps launching twice as fast. These are big, big improvements.
Yeah, that's,
now,
seems
this
like
took
a laudable
changes.
Goal,
Thank
actually,
you very much.
iOS.
This took improvements in many, many places in the system. And I want to highlight just one, and it starts with the silicon. You know, our tight collaboration with our chip team has enabled us to optimize iOS across the full range of our A-series silicon. Now, CPUs traditionally respond to increased demand for performance by slowly ramping up their clock speed. Well, now in iOS 12, we're much smarter. When we detect that you need a burst of performance, like when you begin scrolling or launching an app, we ramp up processor performance instantly to its highest state.
I wonder if there's something wrong with the teleprompter.
And then ramp
both Tim
it down
and
just
Greg
as fast
have been stumbling
to preserve battery life.
Uncharacteristically.
Now, these are just some of the improvements that are coming to not just our older devices, but the full range of devices. And that's a quick update on performance. Now, if this is
twice
all we've
quick
done in iOS 12,
last year's
I think it would be a great
performance.
Release. But we've done more, much more. And we have a lot to cover today. And it starts
all right. People are howling about something
reality.
Up there.
You know,
I'm not sure what icon they saw.
Now, AR is transformational technology.
I have to go back and look at those
bringing experiences
icons
into the real world, it enables
deduce.
All kinds of new experiences, changing the way we have fun and the way we work. And in iOS 12, we've wanted to make an easy way to experience AR across the system. And to do that, we got together with some of the greatest minds in 3D at Pixar. And together, we created a new file format for AR. It's called USDZ. And it's a compact single file format that's optimized for sharing while retaining great 3D graphics and even animations. Now, you can use USDZ across the system, from the Files app to Safari, to even sharing them over messages and mail. And what's great is you can place these 3D objects into the real world. It's something that's like AR Quick Look. It's really awesome. Now, we want all kinds of creatives to be able to create content for AR. And so we're working with the leading companies for 3D tools and 3D libraries to bring their support for USDZ. Now, one company that's been all in on USDZ and ARKit is Adobe. And to tell you about what they're up to, I'd like to invite Abe Parasnis, their CTO, to the stage. Abe.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be here this morning. So at Adobe, we believe augmented reality is an incredibly important technology. And with ARKit, Apple is by far the most powerful platform for AR. So earlier, Craig talked about USDZ format. It's actually a pretty big deal. There is now a way to deliver AR experiences across the entire iOS experience. And so today, we are actually announcing that we are going to bring native USDZ support to Adobe's Creative Cloud. With Creative Cloud, designers and developers will now be able to use familiar apps, apps that they know and love, like Photoshop or Dimension, to create amazing AR content and bring it easily via USDZ. And of course, we're not going to stop there. We are going to bring the power of immersive design to Creative Cloud with a new set of services and applications, including a brand new iOS application that's going to let all of you design amazing AR experiences quickly. So you will be able to bring in images, videos, text, any object from Creative Cloud directly into a native AR environment. In fact, for the first time, with Creative Cloud and iOS, you will have a what you see is what you get editing in AR. It's pretty cool.
USDZ are zip files, essentially, so without compression, containing data that can be read by 3D
immersive design tools for the first
programs.
Time. Thanks. Back to you, Craig.
According to Pixar, file types whose data can be consumed by the USD runtime via MMAP.
Now, a critical part.
So Alembic files are compatible currently, but that's interesting. So that means there will be other image formats that can be stored inside that USDZ file. That's good news.
Mean that we do this really well. And we wanted to enable everyone to take advantage of this capability. So we're introducing a new app, and it's called Measure. It makes it really easy to measure objects, detect rectangles and get their dimensions, and measure lines along surfaces. And I'd like to show it to you now.
So somebody's been Sherlocked here.
In looking for something to measure, I ended up digging through the attic and came upon my old suitcase from my traveling days in college. A lot of memories in here. Now, I'm actually in the Measure app. You see, I can easily measure along this suitcase by just tapping and dragging out a line.
Boy, I'm going to try really hard not to.
Check that out. It's a measurement.
Snark about this, but this is something that's been around for some time on iOS.
What's really cool is I can extend these measurements.
With third-party apps.
So I can just tap.
And I don't really understand why Apple would
drag along another edge.
Not only put effort into it, but feature it.
And even take it into full 3D.
It's a kind of like trivial. It's like the Compass app or something. It's a fairly trivial.
Isn't that cool?
A lukewarm response from the audience as well.
Now, I mentioned that we could automatically detect rectangles and show you dimensions of objects. So I have a photo here, actually. It's one my mom always wanted me to travel with of me as a baby. And so, you see, what I can do with Measure is it automatically detects the dimensions of that photo.
Measure kit.
I can just tap.
That other apps can use. So Apple's
version. And you can get measurements just like that.
So you could use
a Measure kit app. I'm seeing quite a few measurement apps on the App Store that do exactly the same thing.
USDZ and its support throughout the system. You know, you can experience USDZ in so many places, and one of those places is news. Now, here's an article, and we're all accustomed to seeing images in news articles, but check this out. Here you see a USDZ asset, and I can just tap on this little 3D control and jump right in and experience it. You can see the amazing animations that are possible, and of course, it's fully interactive. So I can zoom in and pan. Isn't that amazing? Now, USDZ is also great in the web. So here I am at the Fender website, and they actually let you configure your guitar with the kind of finish and pick guard that you want. So I can select a configuration option here, and then I can see the guitar I've configured. So I'm just going to tap in. Of course, I can see the guitar here, but wouldn't it be cool if I could see it in the real world, in its real size? Well, there it is. Check that out.
So for shopping apps.
I think I'm going to capture that for posterity.
Buying more stuff.
And that's a quick look at USDZ and Measure in iOS 12. Next. Thank you.
Not sure why they lumped those two together.
Next, I'd like to talk about the key technology behind these augmented reality experiences, and that's ARKit. ARKit opens up the world of AR to hundreds of millions of users, making it the world's largest AR platform by far. And we're on a relentless pace of advancement with AR, and that continues today with ARKit 2.
Yes, that's big news.
ARKit 2 delivers advances with improved face tracking, more realistic rendering, and support for 3D object detection and persistence, which enables launching into AR experiences associated with a particular object or a physical space, like starting a game built around a physical toy.
Connection between AR experiences and multiple devices.
For a lesson that was authored in AR. But probably best is the support for shared experiences. Now, this delivers true multi-user augmented reality. You and the people around you will be able to see your own perspective on a common virtual environment. And to help all you developers get started, we created this sample app written in Swift that you'll all be getting today. Now, check out how both players and even a third observer can all experience the same environment in real time.
Now I see the application. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, it's key because then you're not just you and your device.
It's not just you. It's not a lonesome experience. Yeah.
We've also brought in a select few developers into our labs over the last couple weeks to work with ARKit. And they love it. Now, one of them is Lego. And what they've done is so fun. You just need to see it. So I'm pleased to invite Martin Sanders, Director of Innovation of LEGO, to the stage to give you a live demonstration. Martin.
That's great. Thank you very much. Creating and playing with physical LEGO sets brings great joy to millions of children and LEGO fans all over the world.
And great pain to the feet of their parents.
And now, with AR Kit 2, we
so
get
this is going to eliminate that.
Possibilities like never before and take things beyond the physical.
No more stepping on Lego pieces late at night.
What we try to do is combine physical and digital together to really open up those creative play possibilities. Because our Lego sets are really the start point for all of those children's imaginations. And when we get a chance
just
to really
Minecraft.
Embed AR Kit 2, it takes it to the next level. Let me show you what I mean.
Good point.
Here we have Assembly Square. It's one of our Lego Creator sets. And already has so many great details, it's awesome to play with. But wouldn't it be great if we could take things even further? Well, now, with 3D object detection,
we
get to recognize our models and bring them to life.
Oh my God.
It's Minecraft, but a better neighborhood.
And just look at all of those rich details we can now bring into our sets.
This will appeal, I presume, to the Minecraft set.
Because when we combine physical and digital together like this, it really opens up those creative play possibilities.
But let me see some play.
And there's so much to do here. If you see these icons above people and objects, well, they represent missions and stories that we can explore.
But let's not
And with
today.
A world as rich and as immersive as this, who wouldn't want to play?
This is a
so
very,
let's add a character.
Very partial demo.
This little guy here.
Welcome back. Let's go on an adventure.
Awesome. Okay. Let's go on an adventure. But going on an adventure with friends is often way more fun. So, Anders, why don't you jump on in here?
I'm always up for an adventure.
Perfect. Because now, with our Kit 2's multi-user support, we get to play with up to four friends in the same space.
How long can you hold that iPad
Let's go ahead and add a few things from our collection, Anders.
Okay.
Don't you think a kid would rather play with Lego itself? Than...
Very nice. Yeah. I like it.
I mean, there's stuff you can do with this you can't do with Lego. Obviously.
This for a spin. Oh, that's cool.
Not if you never show them the Lego and they never know it exists.
They don't know. The what? There's a wonderful real world of Lego? Mother, why did you never tell me about that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to add
this is very much like
guy.
The HoloLens Minecraft the demo. Safe.
Oh, look, my character's hungry. Let's take him over to the bakery.
He wants
Let's
pretzels.
See what they have. Because now with AR Kit 2, we get to see inside our physical creations and check out all the details
it's
that were hidden before.
Done.
Got a ballerina, a little music session going on. And
I don't see long-term play,
Oops,
though. I just really don't. It's just
Moving
too hard
on.
To hold
oh,
an iPad up.
Another play trigger in the bakery.
Put it in the glasses, maybe.
Are they building or playing in it?
That doesn't look too good.
Yeah, I don't see the building at all.
I'm going to need your help over here.
Okay. I've got a fire truck.
Perfect. You put out those flames.
But I can see kids doing this.
Oh dear. Somebody's got themselves trapped on the roof. So I'm going to use this helicopter.
Yes. Today's children really want their nose glued to the screen. And so it's just another screen to stare at.
Are you getting on down there, Anders?
I'm almost done.
Great.
But they're
Those
not
guys
just
are
staring, I guess. They're creating. They're not just consuming.
And the flames look
really?
Like they're almost
Well,
out.
I mean, not like just watching a YouTube video.
Perfect.
But
we
they're
did
not
it.
Making...
Now I'm confused. Is there an actual physical Lego building there?
What?
So this is all being done... Oh, I see. So there's
you could
a building.
Play too.
So you have to buy some Lego as well.
It doesn't need to end there.
Because yeah, you could
with
play
AR
too.
Kit 2,
you could build it yourself.
We get to save our entire world back into our physical set. And pick up where we left off.
Interesting.
Right, that's awesome. So much fun. But what makes this truly amazing is that with just a single Lego creation and AR Kit 2, it really opens up those creative play possibilities. So look out for more Lego AR experiences in the App Store later this year. Thank you very much, everybody. Awesome. Isn't that great?
So Patrick Delahanty's saying if you build a building, you get to build your own building, then can you interact with it? But I wonder if you can interact with an arbitrary building. You have to have that special set.
On iPhone each year.
Right, or if you use the special set to create
something else. Photos is the best way to relive and share those moments. This year, we're making photos even better. And it starts with search. Search has powerful object and scene recognition. Let you search for photos based on things like searching for cars, or dogs, or flowers. And it's a great way to explore your library. But in iOS 12, search now starts working for you even before you start typing with search suggestions. It'll highlight things for you like key moments and people that are important to you. Places where you've taken some great photos,
and
even categories
and
of photos like hiking and water.
Exactly
sports.
The same named
and
apps.
Search is much more powerful
photos.
Than ever. You can search for places.
The difference
like
is Apple
name, so you can search
claims
for
they do this
MoMA,
all in
or even
phone.
A broad category,
so
like museum.
This
and photos
shared as much
over
with the cloud.
4
I'm
million
not sure exactly
events by time and place. Things like sporting
true.
Events and concerts. And so you can search for them and find photos you took at those events. And search is super powerful. You can now search for multiple search terms, like surfing and vacation, and even get suggestions
let's listen to what he
for
says
additional
about
search terms to help you find exactly
on
what
phone.
You're looking for.
That's what they
and now
touted
in iOS
last
12,
time.
We have an all-new tab. It's called For You. And with For You,
at
you
some
have
point
all
you
of your
exceed what your phone can
great
do.
Memory movies, but more, like featured photos,
these
highlighting
the kinds
photos
of things that are often rendered on
this day and past years. And
device.
Effect suggestions, for instance, suggesting looping a live photo or applying a new portrait effect to one of your portrait photos. And we even highlight your shared album activity. Now, when it comes to sharing, there are many ways you can share photos, but our focus is on sharing great photos with the people you care about most. And that's why this year in For You, we've added sharing suggestions. So imagine you've gone out for a great dinner with some friends and you took some photos. Well, afterwards in For You, you'll see a suggestion like this to share those photos. If you tap in, you'll see that Photos is even recommending a set of photos that from that set that you might want to share and suggests who you might want to share them with based in part by the people that appeared in the photos. When you share them, they're shared at full resolution out of your iCloud photo library. And when your friend receives them, something really magical happens. Their phone searches magical. Their libraries for other photos they took at that event and suggests that they share them
that's
back
cool.
to you.
That's
so you
cool.
both can end up with the full set.
Doesn't Facebook already do that and Google Photos?
Facebook? I don't know if Google Photos
I
does
get
that.
Suggestions from Google Photos
iMessage,
to share
of course, it's
with
private,
myself.
Using
yes.
end-to-end encryption. And all of those
all right,
smarts
on device,
are done with on-device
private.
Machine learning. So that's your quick update on photos in iOS 12.
It doesn't say it's entirely on device.
And next,
though.
Let's turn to Siri.
I think they're doing some server-side stuff.
Now, Siri is by
they
far the
be.
World's most used digital assistant, with over 10 billion requests processed per month. And because Siri works across all your devices, it's always there to help you through your day getting things done. Now, we all know that Siri works with many third-party apps for things like messaging, ride-sharing, and payments. But we wanted to make Siri able to do much more for you. And we're doing that by taking advantage of the power of apps with a new feature we call Shortcuts. Now, with Shortcuts, any app can expose quick actions to Siri. Let's look at some examples. Now, say you have the Tile app because you're always losing your keys. Well, the Tile app can expose the option to add a shortcut to Siri. You can assign your own phrase, such as, I lost my keys, would be a good choice. And when you then say it, Siri will automatically activate Tile and show you right in the Siri UI, start ringing your Tile just like that.
So it's like it's just the net.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Android would be doing something like this.
You could
this,
say game time to get your team's schedule from
progressive loading of apps.
Or help me relax to kick off a meditation.
And, of course, it all depends on developers incorporating these features into their apps.
You know, with millions of apps, Shortcut enables incredible possibilities for how you use Siri. Now, as you know,
it's a good way
Siri
to make Siri
is more than just a
without
voice.
Siri
is working all
so
the
much.
Time in the background to make proactive suggestions for you. Even before you ask.
Stuff they can't
and
do.
Now, with Shortcuts, Siri can do so much more. So, for instance, let's say you order a coffee every morning at Phil's before you go to work. Well, now, Siri can suggest right on your lock screen that you do that. You tap on it, and you can place the order right from there.
So this
or
is the kind
you get
of thing
to
people
the gym, you use
accuse
Aptiv
Google
to track
of
workouts.
Being
that suggestion will appear
creepy
right on your lock
doing.
Screen.
You're at you're near Phil's. It's time for coffee.
Search,
do you want one?
You'll get great suggestions. Like say you're running late for
or
a
do
meeting.
You want to share this photo
well, Siri
with
will suggest you text the meeting organizer. Or when you go to the movie, suggest that you turn
get away
on
from,
do not
get away
disturb.
From,
that's just
this
being considerate.
Being accused of being creepy.
And remind you
I
to
like
call
these
grandma
features. I find them very
just
useful.
Tap and it'll dial the call for you.
Cortana
now,
does this
we think
too,
we're all
going
to really enjoy using shortcuts. And so we went a step further. We wanted to let you create your own shortcuts as users of multiple steps across multiple
Remember, Apple
applications.
Bought Workflow, and I bet you this is their
with
incorporation
a new
of Workflow.
Shortcuts app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is probably Workflow.
So with the Shortcuts app, you could do something like create a shortcut for surf time, and it could go get you the surf report, look up the current weather, get you the ETA to the beach, and even create a reminder for you to put on sunscreen when you get there. Now, it's all done with simple drag and drop steps in the Shortcuts editor right here. It's really easy. Now, to show you how Shortcuts can streamline your day, I'd like to invite one of our leaders from our Siri Shortcuts project, Kim Beverett, to the stage to give you a live demo. Kim!
Hey.
This does look like fun. Like, I would like to create
this is
all kinds
this
of
is
shortcuts.
A great feature. It, well implemented, this
I
is,
am so
this is
stoked
killer.
To show you Siri Shortcuts. To do that, I'm going to walk you through my day. So imagine it's the morning, I'm headed to work.
So developers will add these features to their apps. You'll be able to create your own routines.
Siri has learned that I do this most mornings, so now I can just tap on the suggestion, and I see all the details I need to confirm my perfect mint mojito right here on the lock screen without even going into the app.
In the morning?
So let's get
caffeinated. It's coffee.
Oh.
but it's got mint in it. Sounds
fast
disgusting.
Forward a little bit. No rum, though. Sitting at my desk, at my office.
You're drinking hazelnut. I can smell it from here. So.
I'll go to the up next widget.
You might
widget.
Like a mint mojito.
And it looks like I am running a little late rum. For a rather important meeting. So I should probably let someone know. And it looks like Shortcuts is a few steps ahead of me. I could call into the meeting or I could
historically,
let the organizer
these
know
features
that I'm running late. I should
probably look
tell
great,
Ari what's
people
up.
Really get excited about it.
That looks like
but
just what
then
I want to say.
They don't do it
Sorry,
because
Ari,
it's a lot of work
offended.
To set this stuff up. And only a certain, you know, I think small percentage
Perfect.
Of geeks really
I
spend the time to customize
show you how
their
you can
phone.
Add a shortcut
this is historically the
so
difference between Android and iOS.
Mm-hmm. I keep
is that iOS, you didn't have so many customization features, and
Most
people liked Android because they could customize it. This is an interesting choice for Apple.
You can see I've got my flight, my hotel.
I like it, but I wonder how many
details,
people will use this.
Everything I need, but what I really want is to be able
it's
to
like
use
It's like 3D
this,
touch or force touch.
It's the Workflow app. It's a nicer interface than the Workflow app, but this is clearly Workflow.
And I can just tap Add to Siri.
Which Apple bought.
Record my custom phrase.
Yeah, Workflow is always just one too
Travel
many
plans.
Things for me to do.
Yes, yeah, it's hard work.
And I am done.
I mean,
so
I
now,
like it.
When I land at the airport,
I just,
and I'm about
I think
to get in the cab.
Normal
I
people
really
don't spend don't want to spend time
address,
tweaking.
I can just say
things like this.
Travel plans.
But I'm glad they put the feature in for those
your
who
hotel
do.
Is at 929 South Broadway. You can check in after 3 p.m.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
So I would love to be on that vacation, but I should, I don't know, probably finish this demo. So let's
Google's
head back
been trying to do
work,
this without
and
your
I can
intervention,
show you how the
which maybe is why it's considered creepy.
We start in the gallery where there's hundreds of pre-made shortcuts that you can download.
Yeah, this
or
looks,
we can
looks a lot like
library,
If This Then That.
And I've got a bunch of shortcuts here, but I want to
wow.
show you my
it,
heading
It looks
home
exactly
shortcut.
Like If This Then
yeah.
That.
You can see that it's just really a series of steps. It grabs my location and my travel time, and it sends.
I see. I love this kind of stuff. But
yeah,
it sets my HomeKit thermostat to 70 degrees, and it turns on my fan. And last, it gets directions home with Apple Maps with the best route to avoid traffic. Now, this is already pretty cool, but I happen to be an NPR news junkie, so I should probably just add that to my shortcut to save me some trouble on the ride home. Let's tap Search, and there's a bunch I can add here, but I can just tap Siri Suggestions. And there it is, play KQED radio, drag this in, drop it, and we're set. I've already added the shortcut to Siri with the custom phrase heading home. So now, whenever I leave work, I can just say, heading home.
You're watching
you
live
there in 1 hour.
Coverage of Apple's WWDC keynote 2018, Leo LaPorte with Megan Maroney.
And I turned on the fan, playing KQED radio.
Right?
Are you going to do that?
I already tried to do that with the automation in the home app, and it has never worked. Like, I have it set to, when I arrive home, unlock my door and turn on my lights. It's never worked.
Yeah.
So if it works, yes. I will try it for sure.
And that's Siri Shortcuts. It works on iPhone and iPad. And of course, you can run your shortcuts from your HomePod.
This is an iOS
and your Apple Watch.
12 feature.
That's your quick update on Siri.
But automation is
Next,
already in.
Let's talk about apps. And to tell you about the latest,
oh boy, the stock app.
Susan. Susan.
The stock and iBooks.
iBooks and stocks. A show today brought to you by IT Pro TV.
Thanks, Craig. And it is so great to be here. I'm excited to tell you about some great updates
today
in some of our most popular apps, starting with one of my favorites, News.
The first one I erased.
So, News is a personalized feed where you can see all the stories you want to read pulled together from trusted sources. And our top stories are handpicked by the Apple News editorial team.
Nathan Olivares Giles.
To make a great collection of curated content. With our new Browse tab,
they've been actively hiring people.
You can discover new
channels
and topics.
Remember, they brought texture as well. I wonder if they're going to mention
and
that.
We've made it even easier to jump to your favorites, because that's why they're your favorites, right? News shines on the iPad. We've added a new sidebar, and it's a great way to navigate. It makes it easy and, I think, fun to dig into the areas you're most interested in. So that's News. Now, we've completely rebuilt
magazines.
The Stocks app, and it's got a beautiful
new design.
Of course, you can still
see
stock prices and the changes at a glance, but we've added spark lines, those little charts, that show the stock performance throughout the day. And that's cool, but are you ready? We are so excited to announce we're bringing Apple News to Stocks.
Oh, come on. Who's applauding that?
I'm really excited about that. And the top stories
in Stocks
who
wrote the program.
Features business news, right?
Stocks
curated
team.
Curated by the Apple News editors. It's pretty terrific. You can tap on any stock to get a more detailed view.
It's
you can see
the base features of every stock site there is.
After hours pricing. And you see relevant headlines from Apple News curated by our Apple News editor. So it looks great. And if you tap on one of those headlines, you'll see the full article.
I don't know who this is for.
Leaving the app.
If you're serious
and
about stocks, you're using something
it's formatted
else.
Formatted to look gorgeous on the iPhone.
And if you're
now,
not, you've already
with iOS
disabled
12,
the app.
We're bringing Stocks to iPad.
Oh my God.
You couldn't get the Stocks app on iPad?
It's pretty great. And we take advantage of the larger display so you can keep your eye on your stocks on the left while you browse through your financial news. It's a pretty great experience.
Next, there'll be a calculator.
Voice memos.
I feel like they're really.
We've also completely rebuilt voice memos.
This is scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Even easier to use. And we're bringing voice memos to the iPad for the first time. Importantly, we've also added iCloud support, so your recordings stay in sync across all your devices. We think iPad users are just going to love this.
Oh, there's another bingo card. You're just
going
to love this.
That iBooks is the best way to discover and experience
get a better
e-books,
bingo card. Mm-hmm.
As well as audiobooks. And with iOS 12, we're
introducing
a new design. And we think the update is great.
They're all different ones, huh?
We're calling it Apple Books, a new name.
Apple Books.
Very
a new
dramatic.
Name for the old app.
They're taking eye away from everything.
One more eye.
Apple Books has some great new features. For example, Reading Now, with a preview that makes it really easy for you to pick up reading right where you left off. And there's
what?
So much more.
They didn't
That's
do
unheard
that
before. Of.
A new store that makes browsing through
did,
your e-book.
I mean, what?
That's weird.
You mean you had to find your page each time?
We love these updates, and we think you
this.
Will too. But we also have a smart and safe way to use your apps in the car. I think you know I'm talking about CarPlay. CarPlay already supports third-party audio and voice messaging, voice calling,
I'm sorry, Apple Books.
And messaging apps.
Audio.
Probably know that. But what you might not know is with iOS 12, CarPlay will also support third-party navigation.
Finally, apps. Waze and Google Maps. That was a big missing feature. Actually, Google only recently added Waze
to
Google
to Android
Auto. So
that is a really quick look at some of our app dates. And Craig, back to you.
Update.
Back to you, Craig.
Now, do you think they're going to talk the timer? Do you think they're going to talk about maybe parental controls or how much time you spend?
Oh, yes. That's the next one, sorry.
To talk about something that's on a lot of people's minds lately.
Yes, this is what response
You know, iPhone and iPad are some of the most powerful tools ever created for learning, exploring, and keeping in touch. But some apps demand more of our attention than we might even realize. They beg us to use our phone when we really should be occupying ourselves with something else. They send us flurries of notifications, trying to draw us in for fear of missing out. And some of us, it's become such a habit that, you know, we might not even recognize just how distracted we become. Well, we've thought deeply about
this.
What did he say? And today, we're announcing a comprehensive set of built-in features to help you limit distraction, focus, and understand how you're spending your time.
Both Google and Apple addressing this
head-on. Balance the many things that are important to you. Now, it starts with do not disturb. There are times of the day, or times when you just don't want to be disturbed. And one of those, of course, is at night. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you look at your phone, maybe just to check the time, and you're confronted with something like this. Barrage of notifications that spin you up and keep you from falling back asleep.
Android P doesn't show any notifications when you're in
D&D. Do not disturb during bedtime, where all you'll see is this.
I think that's
nothing to get you
spun up. I find
it
extremely annoying.
And in the morning...
Save us from ourselves, Craig.
Yeah, it's good, though. It's good. Again, this is what Android P is already doing.
In the morning when you wake up, you're gently eased into your day. You can tap when you want to start confronting those notifications. Now, we've all found ourselves in situations like this. Now, rest assured, he stuck the landing on this one. Do not disturb can help. And we made it easier than ever to use do not disturb.
Your kid's falling
off
the screen.
A great new mode where when you press into do not disturb and control center, you can set an ending time for do not disturb for when you leave a particular location.
Yeah, that's good.
Or when an event ends on your calendar. So I think we're all going to be using do not disturb a bunch more. Now, next, I want to talk about notifications. Now, notifications help keep us informed and connected to important things that happen throughout the day. And we'd like to give you more control over how many notifications
mm-hmm. and that
you receive.
Has the same effect, pretty much.
And so we're enabling what we call instant tuning for notifications right from the lock screen. You can press in to a notification, and from there you can decide to send future notifications from that app directly to Notification Center, bypassing your lock screen.
This is good, too.
Or
better
turn them off altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And Siri will even help by suggesting that you turn off notifications for apps that you're no longer using. Now, we also wanted to give you help managing large numbers of notifications. So I'm thrilled to announce that we're bringing to iOS support for grouped notifications.
Does Android do grouped notifications?
Say again?
Does Android do grouped notifications?
Notifications are grouped not just by app, but also by topic and thread.
Not
gives
like
you a great
this.
Overview of the notifications you've
received. It will do it by app.
You can tap in and look at a particular group. Of course, just as important, with a single swipe, you can triage a whole group of notifications away.
So Apple's that's been playing catch-up on notifications for a long time, but I think at this point they're pretty
now,
good.
In addition to these great features for helping you limit distractions, we wanted to go further. And it's with a feature we call screen time. Screen time empowers you with both insight and control over how you spend your time. And it starts with reports. Every week, you get a weekly activity summary that details how you used your iPhone or iPad. You tap in, and you get to view your full activity report. It's really detailed. You get deep insight on how much time you're spending,
on Android,
where you're spending
this for some time,
and
but I'm glad to see
your
Apple
use
adding
down during
Well, I've
the day,
tried like Moment, but it uses up so much battery.
Well, and you can't really do it on an iPhone as well as Apple.
Apps,
only Apple has access to all
this. How much time you're spending, how often per hour you're picking
great.
Up your phone,
this
and what's drawing
useful.
You in, and what apps are sending you the most notifications.
Oh, very welcome. This
now,
is very nice.
Equipped with this insight, you can make decisions about how much time you want to spend with your device each day. But we know there are people who would like a little extra help in managing their use of apps. And for them, we've created app limits. So if in your activity report, you see an app where you might want to be spending a little bit less time, Well, you can set your own limit.
Don't pick on Instagram, guys.
When you're using the
Although
app,
that's
you receive
the one
a helpful
for me.
Notification letting you know time is almost up.
That's great. And then Google is doing exactly the same thing.
And once you've reached your limit, instead of the app, you'll see this. It's time to move on. Now, we'll let you grant yourself an extension if you want, but we'll give you a reminder later to move along. Now, this is also in sync across your iPhone and iPad, so your limits apply to your total usage.
Yeah. Some people don't.
We think this is going to be helpful for
many people. No, many people don't.
Yeah.
But especially for some kids.
You don't have to use them.
And we know this is something that can help families achieve the right balance for them. And of course, it starts with providing your kids with great information so they get an activity report of their own. But as a parent, you get one as well on your device. And based on what you see, you have the option of creating allowances. And
this is a good feature. We've seen third-party devices attempt this. Is that Steven Spielberg?
You have many options. One of them is downtime, time when you want your kids to unplug altogether, for instance, at bedtime. And you can also limit your kids' time in apps by category or by individual app. Now, there's some apps you may want to always allow them to use. For instance, you may want them to be able to get at the phone at all times so they can contact you. Or you may want to give them access to educational apps. And you can also
exactly
limit access to only movies, apps, and websites
shareholders
that you
wanted
deem
Apple to do
age
back
appropriate.
In January, and I'm
now,
pleased
this
to see
works,
they've, of course, really
across
responded.
Their iPhone and iPad.
Set up
and
for parent device
family
is
sharing,
key.
So it's super easy to set up. And you can manage it all remotely from your parental device. And so that are some screen time and some great features to help you better manage your time.
Of course, the Twit app will never have that.
Now, next, I'd like to talk about one of the
this
most
is time
important
well spent.
Uses
time
of our
well
devices, spent. And that's communication. And we'll start
messages
with
and
messages.
FaceTime.
Messages has given us fun ways to express ourselves with emoji and now animoji. And one of the things that make animoji so fun is how expressive they are, you know, from smiles to frowns to nods of the head and blinking of the eye. Animoji do such an amazing job tracking our expressions. And this year, we're taking Animoji to a whole new level, the breakthrough new technology we call tongue detection.
Oh, Lord.
That's right.
And if you're not
now
watching the video, the word tongue detection, the
this.
G just dropped a little tongue out.
We're all going to be sticking out our tongues to our phones in the near future.
Tongue detection.
Now, we've also
we've really reached
some great
peak
new iPhone.
These are features. Right?
Like ghost, koala.
These are the new emojis approved
tiger,
by the Unicode Committee.
And
animoji.
T-Rex.
Oh, these are
the
animojis.
New animoji.
Yeah.
We wanted to take animoji
like the ghost
even further by making them even more personal.
It takes so long to have new ones
so
come out.
So I'm thrilled today to announce the arrival of the era of Memoji.
No.
Oh, no. It's Bitmoji, right? It's going to be...
Or what Samsung right. does, you know,
yeah.
right?
Memoji,
with your,
you can yeah. create your
There's a Craig Federighi emoji.
Hopefully they're all Craig Federighi.
The Samsung ones are extremely creepy.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like Craig, but at least it's not creepy.
Like you or the real you.
Oh.
You can have a mohawk or blue hair.
We've worked hard to build a deep set of customization options to let our customers create an incredibly diverse set of Memoji. It's really incredible what you can create. And we've designed a beautiful new experience to create these Memoji that makes the process fun and easy. Now, to tell you more about it, I'd like to invite one of the managers of our messages and Animoji features, Kelsey Peterson, to give you a live demo.
Memoji on the card. Product manager Memoji.
Good morning. I cannot wait to tell you what's new with messages. Let's get started with Animoji. First, you need to meet the newest members of the team. We've got a new cat in town, our tiger. She's so cute. And now, my personal favorite, the koala.
Let's see that tongue detection.
Just getting excited, scrolling through here. They can't all be cute and cuddly, though. So here's our T-Rex. And we have our very own friendly little ghost.
Kelsey, I've got some bad news for you.
So much fun. And if I swipe right, here's where I can create my very own Memoji. Let me show you just how easy it is. I recently chopped my hair, so I want one that matches the new me. So I've selected a skin color, and now I'm trying to figure out just the right amount of freckles.
So it's not doing what Samsung does, scenario. Which is taking a picture and kind of trying to apply
it. These are just
it.
Right.
It's Bitmoji.
Bitmoji does that. Well, there's a Bitmoji you can use your picture, too.
There are so many hairstyles to choose from.
You do
it all. I'm going to grab my color. And then, like I said, I need to go a little bit shorter.
Exactly. The Samsung thing is creepy.
Right. Why do you want to be? Why do you want your Memoji to look like you?
Now that I'm all set, I can of course select my eye color.
But I don't need those wrinkles.
And what's really amazing is as I'm making changes, the character up above is coming to life. There are tons of options for me to customize.
We're living in Wall-E world.
But what I really want,
like Wall-E, not Wall-E world from
Wall-E.
Chevy Chase Wall-E world.
That's confusing. You're right. A monocle.
Maybe not for today. I think I need two lenses. These are the ones. Now that I have frames, I'm going to tint my lenses to make a great pair of sunglasses.
It's cool. It's cool. Actually, that's great. I like this. I mean,
yeah, I send a lot of Bitmoji, and I feel like
still?
I do. Okay, but I feel like it annoys people.
It does,
but I still do it.
Yeah,
which saves my brand new created Memoji right here into the drawer. Alongside the rest of my team.
All right, that's nice.
And that's how simple it is to create your very own Memoji.
And are they available only on
iOS 12? Well, yeah, that's part of the problem, right? Or does it send an animated
GIF? Now, I have a brand new feature to introduce you to.
This wasn't
even in Craig's slides. We are bringing fun effects into the messages camera. Let's take a look. I have a message here from my partner. It looks like he's informing me that he's bought our dog, Ferdinand, yet another tiny dog hat. This isn't even the first.
Yet another?
I think this is the perfect opportunity for a response with this new, fun camera.
Ferdinand needs a new job.
So I'll tap to pull up the camera, and then I can see this little star over here on the left.
Uh-huh.
Tapping on that gives me a strip with all sorts of new effects. So I could add things like shapes or text. But let's check out these filters.
It's like Snapchat.
Ooh. So this is comic book. It's really fun. But for a response about a tiny dog hat, I think I'm going to go in a different artistic direction.
Tiny dog hat.
So what I really need to do is add a sticker from one of my favorite sticker packs. Ferdy looked really excited about that new dog hat. So I'm going to put him right here. And now we have an all-new way for you to use Animoji.
She's been working on this
presentation. I can apply my favorite Animoji right here, live.
And her mom asked her, Kelsey, what are you doing in Apple? She said, Mom, I would love to tell you, but they won't let me.
It's top secret.
It's top secret.
Here's the Memoji I just created, but I actually have just the one. It's of me in a very similar red hat. Which is kind of perfect for twinning with my pup. So I'm going to set up my shot. Snap and send.
All right. You know.
And that's a demo of the fun new effects and messages. Back to you, Craig.
So that's Memoji and some fun new effects.
You think she really sent it to her partner?
No.
Next. Let's talk about FaceTime.
I do hope that her dog has a tiny little hat.
I don't think so.
FaceTime is the way that so many of us connect with the people in our lives and share some of our most important moments.
My God, there's a little tiny Craig Federighi in my house.
With people important to us wherever they are. And of course, it's a fun place just to hang out. Now, this year, FaceTime is going to take a big leap forward because today we're introducing group FaceTime.
Why do people get excited? This stuff's been around for years on other platforms.
FaceTime with two people, three people.
This is house party.
Up to 32.
Also, wait a minute. 32 people?
and 32 people who use iPhones?
Do you know 32 people?
Setting up a group call couldn't be easier. Just instead of typing one person's name,
you can do 32
many.
People.
You can ring them by tapping audio or video. But we also introduced a great new way because FaceTime is now integrated into messages. So you can quickly go from a group chat you have going directly in to a group FaceTime. And members of the group can join in and drop out at any time. Mm-hmm. It's really great. Would you like to see it? Well, let's do a demo. Well, I think for our first live demo of group FaceTime, I'm going to contact the folks back in Cupertino. Now I can just dive in to this conversation I have going with the members of the FaceTime team. And it looks like actually they're already
they're
on a group FaceTime call.
They're waiting for
so
you, Craig.
Join right in.
They're all sitting. Yeah. There's a little lag there.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Craig.
Now check it out. So it's this beautiful FaceTime UI. We have these big, gorgeous tiles right up front where you see some of the leaders of the FaceTime team. And down at the bottom, there's an area we call the roster that contains everybody else. And, of course, I'm right there in the lower right-hand corner.
Hey, Craig. Wait, am I on the big screen?
Yes, Lauren, this is not a test. You're in front of 6,000 of your biggest new fans. Now, what you probably noticed is when Lauren spoke, her tile automatically got larger to reflect her prominence in the conversation. This is totally automatic. Hey, Roberto, how's it going
rapidly
back there in
entering
Cupertino?
Samsung keynote
I'd
territory.
I'd say it's going pretty well. And Lauren, sorry for stealing your spotlight.
So, I like that feature.
This works,
nice
of course, for people mm-hmm. in
Hangouts
the roster
something,
as well.
As
when
as
they
elegant,
speak, they
beautiful.
Come forward. Hey, Christopher, you ready
you
to make your big entrance?
I have an iPhone on Hangouts, though.
Finally, my moment has come. Hello, world.
Now, well done. Now, you can control this, too. So if I want to bring Woody front and center, I just double tap. There he is. Now,
he double tapped his Woody.
Woody, your baby is performing admirably here.
Thanks, Craig.
Is that a picture it's of like Craig Federighi behind
you? I believe everyone.
It sure is. Now, we have not only all of this, but
taking
we've also
sycophancy
brought
to a new
the fun
level.
Effects to the FaceTime camera. I can just tap in, and I have access to Animoji, filters, and all of my sticker packs. And everyone else on the call can apply them, too.
Oh,
wow.
So this
now,
is
this
not for
is
business.
The future.
That's
hey, Craig, check this out. I'm a comic book koala, something I've always wanted to be.
That's neat.
I'm glad you've finally been able to express that side of yourself, Roberto. Hey, Tim, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. I signed up to help test FaceTime.
All right. Well, thank you, Tim. Every little bit counts.
Happy to help, and thanks to everyone on the FaceTime team for making it a reality.
From now on, when I fire people at Apple, I'm going
to
use this.
To call the leadership team.
This is Tim Cook.
Looking forward
You're
to that.
Fired.
Of course, what I'm really looking forward
really
to is getting group FaceTime mm-hmm. to everyone on iOS 12. Thanks, guys, for a fantastic call. We'll see you back in Cupertino.
I think we should have our meetings like that. Yeah.
I'm going to make the chat room do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's group FaceTime. It works on iPhone, iPad, and Mac, and you can even answer an audio on your wrist on your Apple Watch. So that's FaceTime and messages, and this is iOS 12. Improved performance, new AR experiences, Siri suggestions, screen time, Memoji and fun effects in the messages camera, and group FaceTime. I hope you like it. I'm going to hand it back to Tim. Thank you.
This Twit Live special brought to you by IT Pro TV. Prepare your team for the most competitive certifications with over 4,000 hours of on-demand IT training.
We can't wait for everyone to get their hands on it. Next up, we'd like to talk about the Apple Watch.
Ooh. Everything's dark mode, you notice? That's
the new
thing.
We had a vision for just how impactful and essential it could become in our lives. So we worked very hard to create something that you would love and want to wear all the time. And customers do love it. In fact, Apple Watch is number one in customer satisfaction. And And not just this year, but every single year since we launched in 2015. And growth has been off the charts. Apple Watch grew 60% last year. We're constantly hearing from customers about the many ways that the Apple Watch has changed their lives. And I'd like to share just one of them with you this morning. Mary Dobjan was boating with her husband, John, when due to a medical condition, all of John's muscles went completely limp and he fell into the ice-cold water. With her arms wrapped around John to keep him from drowning, Mary could not reach her phone to call for help. But with her Apple Watch, she was able to call Siri, or to use Siri to call 911. Rescuers soon arrived and saved John's life.
So if you ever lose all muscular control,
if it wasn't for my Apple Watch, he really would not be here today.
I'll be glad I'm wearing that Apple Watch.
This is just one of the many stories that we've heard about how Apple Watch is impacting people's lives.
Hey, Siri.
They range from
Megan just fell off the chair.
Getting people to be more active, to helping users live a healthier life, or even to alerting users to an elevated heart rate.
I think we know who's going to have to call 911.
Apple Watch brings amazing capability right to the wrist. And, of course, at the heart of
what
this
is that disease where you lose
WatchOS.
All muscular
control. We're excited
control.
To introduce WatchOS 5 today, which brings even more ways for you to stay active and connected. And I'd like to hand it off to Kevin Lynch to tell you all about it.
Ah, Kevin Lynch, former CTO at Adobe.
Good morning. You know, stories like that about how Apple
known
Watch
to Steve Jobs
is supporting
when he had
people
furious
around the world
fights with him over
in
Flash.
Even extreme situations like Mary and John's,
strong
but also in their daily
Flash.
Lives, is really super motivating to us
but
as a team.
One respect from Steve Jobs, who
and there
tried
are things
to hire
you do
him,
every day that shape
time.
Your life.
Finally,
and
he did
Apple
move
Watch
to Apple to run the Watch
has two carriers
division.
That's working to help you support those activities every day. First, staying active to increase your well-being and health. And second, being connected to the people and the information that you care most about. We're moving WatchOS forward in both of these areas. Let's start with health and fitness. Now, much of the power in the health and fitness features that we put in Watch are really empowered by the investment we do to make sure the data you see is accurate. The data from our custom-built heart rate sensor,
told me I'm
going
to get a badge
gyro, GPS are
if I exercise
validated.
One more time
fact,
this month.
Lab,
yeah, I think it's like four times.
It literally said, Leo, you've exercised 3 times this month. One more time, and we're going to give you a badge.
Million calories doing this.
I like
believe
the
this is the largest biometric data collection of its kind.
What do you do with your badges?
And we take this information.
Just hold them in
and
my
we
heart.
Work to integrate this seamlessly with the user experience. So when you raise your wrist and you look at your activity rings, the information is not only accurate, but it's also meaningful to you.
It takes a little more
really
than raising your wrist
your
to look at those.
Focus on closing these rings.
Search.
And we really enable this through press. A number of ways in Apple Watch. First, of course, we do daily coaching so you can see what your goals are for the day. We also support celebrations when you achieve your goals. Mm-hmm. And we have special edition challenges, like the most recent Earth Day challenge that we did. And on a monthly basis, we do monthly goals that are personalized to you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Activity app also
about.
Supports activity sharing, which has become one of the most popular features of the Activity app.
You've only walked
many
400
steps today, Mia. Many of you love the excitement of good old-fashioned competition, though.
Sad.
So in WatchOS 5,
or maybe
you can challenge any of your
I don't wear my watch every freaking moment.
Whenever you would like. Mm-hmm. And if they accept, you each try to win the week by closing your rings and earning points. You earn 1 point for each percent of a ring that you close.
Yes, because you told
me. While you're in the middle of a competition,
maybe I put it on after I walked a couple of miles. Maybe.
Making, but also where you stand in the competition. And when you win, you receive a new award. We're really excited about this addition.
Badge.
And if you're competitive, it gives you a whole new way to enjoy the activity app. Now, when you're doing...
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get the notification that you've done something when you're just sitting, you reached your move goal?
Yeah,
and you're just
because
sitting.
You just moved a little.
Have
some of us
to
have
things like
simpler goals than others.
Distance, elevation gain, and when you're swimming, it even counts laps
all the
and
time.
Detects what swim strokes.
Oh,
you
stood up! Congratulations! That's the 12th time you stood up today.
Favorite gym equipment. We're really excited to bring more enhancements to workouts in WatchOS 5, starting with a new workout type for yoga. Now, this works primarily from your heart rate.
He looks
and
like
we calibrate
hot
this
yoga
to your fitness level through the rest of your day. So now you can more accurately track those yoga sessions, including those intense vinyasa sessions.
It didn't really ever do yoga, did it?
Well, you can do, but it just, I don't know what it does.
Now it's measuring heart rate anyway.
And elevation gain, so you can more accurately get exercise credit while you're hiking in steep terrain or really long stages. And Apple Watch has become a really great running companion, especially now that we've added GPS and cellular and music streaming.
Oh, I get it. He's on a really long stage.
I figured that out. In addition to current and average pace, you now have the option to keep track of your rolling mile pace, which is how fast you ran the immediately preceding mile.
Well, that's helpful.
You can also now set a custom pace alert, so your Apple Watch will tap you when you're above or below the pace that you've set.
That's good.
Yeah.
And finally, runners will now
real runners don't wear Apple Watches. They tend to wear Garmin, yeah.
We're really excited for runners.
I'm not a serious runner, and I'd like to know what my mile
pace is. But that's good, yeah, for casual runners. Joggers, we used to call them.
Now, there's sometimes when you forget to start a workout on watch, but you've started working out. And to solve this now, we're adding automatic workout detection.
Ah, finally.
Yes.
This is something I have in my Samsung S3 that I love, and I've been asking for this.
Your Apple Watch will now offer to start tracking a workout if it senses that you're beginning one.
Thank you.
And even if you press start sometime after you began working out, you'll get retroactive credit for the workouts that you did.
That's what I need, retroactive credit. Because it feels like you have it. If you didn't start a workout, you weren't really working out.
No, totally
these
want
start
this.
Start alerts will support all these great workouts on Apple Watch.
Running, walking,
genius.
Now when
throwing,
you reduce the intensity
swimming
of your movement or your heart rate decreases, but you forget to end your workout, of course, Watch will also detect that and suggest that you stop.
I don't want that because sometimes I like eat breakfast and I still get
extra. Have you finished?
All these new features, activity competitions, the new yoga and hiking workout, new features for runners and automatic workout detection are all enabling you to more accurately track your
workouts. Presumably this is WatchOS 12.
While you do.
And I presume this fall.
Now let's talk about being connected.
It's not WatchOS 12, is it?
Apple Watch enables you to remain in the moment while also easily connected to the people and information that you care about.
They need to fix that.
And the introduction of cellular made this even better. You can stay connected even when you're going out for an evening, running some errands, or even going for a swim. Or stay in touch when your phone might not be easily available to you. And staying connected with people you love is something that our customers love about Apple Watch. You can easily make or receive a phone call, and you can hear the emotion and tone on the other end of the voice as you talk in real time. Or you can use messages to have impromptu, short conversations with loved ones in a message thread. In WatchOS 5, you'll have an entirely new way to communicate on your watch. That's real-time voice, but with the spontaneity of short messaging.
Huh?
Did you steal my chips?
Oh, it's like walkie-talkie.
Mm. Maybe.
It's like next. Like,
I cannot wait to
talk.
Go to college.
That's a great idea.
Introducing walkie-talkie.
That's a great idea.
We've had a lot of people ask us about that.
Really? Yeah, people missed that feature. The old, what would they call
this
those phones?
This is a new app on Apple
Sprint
Watch.
The company,
it's a fun, easy way to talk with friends and family. Let's take a look at how it works.
There was,
Tell?
First, you choose
Nextel.
Who you'd like to enable walkie-talkie with.
Very good.
And it suggests some people that you often communicate with, so you can easily add them. Now, the first time that you do this,
it's even
your
Nextel
friend will receive
yellow.
A one-time request to allow a walkie-talkie connection with you. If they accept,
I'm
then
doing
you can
this right
speak
now.
To each other with walkie-talkie.
How can I get this right now?
And to do this, you just press to talk.
I'm
going to
totally do
and
this
your
for you
can
all
hear
the time.
Voice, just
did
like
you steal my chips?
They're going to feel a haptic and hear a beep-beep sound right before your voice comes out.
This is great.
This new watch-to-watch connection works over cellular or Wi-Fi. It has really high audio quality, and it's a lot of fun. We can't wait for you to try this out.
This is brilliant. I never thought of this, but obviously you said people have asked.
Yeah, we have. And
wow,
we've like kind of MacGyvered them through different apps.
Introduce a Siri watch face, which presents the right information to you at the right time. And Siri does this using machine learning. So it's going to get better at predicting your actions over time by combining inputs like the time of day, your location, your daily routines, or which apps you use when. We're making some great enhancements to the Siri watch face now. First, we're adding new content. So now you can get live sports scores, you can get commute time home or to work, or you can see your heart rate, for example, after a workout or your resting heart rate. And we're also adding Siri shortcuts. Those shortcuts you saw coming to iOS 12 are also going to be available in WatchOS. So in addition to getting relevant information, you'll also receive predicted shortcuts right on the Siri watch face. So at a wrist raise, you'll be able to directly do things like turn on your leaving home scene, or start an outdoor walk, or play your favorite morning playlist. And these shortcuts appear based on whether you typically do those actions at those times. So super easy now to just tap and do those actions. Also, for the first time, you can now use third-party apps on the Siri watch face.
Yay.
So now you can see both relevant content and shortcuts from your favorite apps.
I love the Siri face, but it does. I need more customization. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, you can scroll the crown so to see more of the Siri. I didn't know that for a long
time. Yeah. You're logging your meals with Lose It, or you use CityMapper to find your commute home. You just raise your wrist and tap. It's that easy. So new content, support for shortcuts, and third-party apps making for an even more powerful Siri watch face. Now, currently to talk to Siri, you raise your wrist and you say, "Hey, Siri." And when you think about this, it's quite a strong signal when you raise your wrist and talk to your watch. It's kind of like when someone's standing right in front of you. You don't need to say, "Hey," because you have their attention already. So we're bringing this same social cue to Siri on the watch. So you no longer need to say, "Hey, Siri." You just raise your wrist and talk to Siri.
That's a problem.
Well, you probably can turn it off if you want.
Don't you think
now
you raise your wrist more?
Improvements to notifications.
Yeah, like to look at what time it is.
More actionable and interactive. So, for example, with this notification from Qantas,
to see how that works.
You can check in and share your flight details from the notification.
Yeah.
After you finish a ride with Didi, you can scroll down, you can rate your ride, and pay with Apple Pay
in
the notification. And with this one from Yelp, that your table is ready, if you need a bit more time, you can extend the reservation out a bit just by tapping here. So super easy now to interact right in place inside notifications.
See more apps do that. That's great.
We've also improved our message notifications. Today, if someone sends you a web link, you aren't able to view it on your wrist. With watchOS 5, we've integrated WebKit. So now you have the ability to view web content in mail or messages. You can even tap on that link.
Now you can be hacked on your watch.
Let's easily view things like menus here.
Yang
and while
Seng
we think full browsing doesn't make sense on your wrist, there are times you get content you'd like to see it right in the moment, and now you'll be able to do that in watchOS 5. And the contents can be formatted for the small screen, and where reader mode's available, it uses that on the watch. So, WebKit on watchOS.
Nice.
It'd be super annoying to get it. You can look at this on your iPhone.
Now, with watchOS 4, we introduced an entirely new way to listen to music while you're on the go. You can stream 48 million songs on your wrist with Apple Music, or you can listen to automatically synced and curated playlists. And now, with watchOS 5, we're giving you even more to listen to.
Fantastic. Good news for podcasters. How are they
that? The Apple Podcasts app is coming to Apple Watch.
Nice. Mm.
Upcoming episodes from subscribed podcasts will be automatically synced to your watch.
Very nice.
You can get
them right there.
Podcast.
Or you can just ask Siri to stream a podcast for you, and it'll start playing. And playback resumes across all your devices, so you can continue just where you left off.
Yay.
So that's podcasts.
Thank you.
Now, those are the great new features coming in watchOS 5 to stay connected with people and information that you care most about. Interactive notifications, web content, new content and shortcuts in the Siri face, podcasts, and, of course, walkie-talkie. Now, we'd like to show you this stuff live in action, and we thought we'd increase the challenge a bit in our live demo here today.
It's more interesting than the stuff they announced for iPhone.
So Jules, who helps lead our fitness experiences, is actually going to do the demo while biking.
So
Jules has expertise in coaching, and she knows how to move and demonstrate and motivate all at the same time. Take it away, Jules.
Thank you, Kevin. I've got some great stuff to show you that I think you're really going to love. And bonuses, I get to work on closing my rings while I do it. So first, I'm super excited to show you how easy it is to start a workout with GymKit. I just tap to connect and accept on the watch. And now I can control and start the workout right here from the console on the bike. All of my data between the watch and the bike is in sync, and all of my workout metrics are accurate. Now, I wouldn't typically be trying to demo things for you and sneak in a workout at the same time, but I want to show you activity competitions. And to do that, I need to keep moving. This morning, I got this notification, and it says, "Your competition with Jay is down to the last day, and it's
Blahnik,
a close one.
Of course.
Have you got what it takes to win?"
I wouldn't want to
Have I got what
Jay
it takes?
Blahnik.
You bet I do. But if I scroll down, I can see that Jay has moved ahead of me by a couple of points, and that's not okay because this thing ends tonight. So I think I'm going to add a little resistance to this workout here and work to earn as many points as possible and move ahead of Jay by the time this demo's done. I can simply tap here and send him a little smack talk to let him know I'm coming for him. Let me show you interactive notifications because I have dinner reservations tonight that I made through Yelp. If all goes well here, I'm going to go out with my girlfriends from work to celebrate. And because we all know that Jay's going to lose this competition, Maybe I should invite him along so it can be his treat. Now I can simply add to the number of guests and confirm right here in the app without ever having to open it. It's that simple. Now in watchOS 5, notifications from apps are smartly grouped together. And here are a couple messages from my friend Catherine. We're trying to get to a yoga retreat this summer. And it looks like she sent me a link. Now I can tap it here and see if she's found somewhere great for us to go. Oh yeah, this looks beautiful. I'm already in. But I could continue to scroll through the site, maybe read a little bit more about the retreat, even check the dates to make sure that they work. And I can do all that right here from my wrist. Let me show you the enhancements that we've made to the new Siri Watch face. At the top here, you see the workout that I'm in right now. And when I'm ready to get back to it, I can just tap. Next up is Glow Baby, because it's about this time each day that I check the app to see if my husband has logged our one-year-old's nap. Oh, good job, baby. He slept 2 hours. And you parents know that good naps equal good nights, so I'm looking forward to that. All right. As I scroll through my day, I can see my next meeting. I can see traffic and directions to places that I'm going later today. Here's that dinner that Siri found in my calendar. And waiting for me at the end of my day is a shortcut to my evening meditation with 10% happier. Nice. Now,
she
I want to check
really
back in on this competition.
All.
She does. She
I thought
really
it might
does.
Be a good idea to get a little moral support from my number one fan. And you heard Kevin say how walkie-talkie is so great for staying in touch with close friends and family. So I set my daughter up with walkie-talkie.
The baby?
So that she can help demo what it's like Whoa. To receive one.
I
and
hope
maybe
it's
give
the
me
baby.
A little bit of love up here.
Is the baby's name Glow or is the app
oh,
name Glow?
Mommy, I see you on TV.
Isn't that fun? How am I doing?
So good. I know you'll beat Uncle Jay. Hashtag mommy for the win.
Thanks, Peach. I love you.
Her baby talks really well.
Wow, that's good for a baby. Give her another bottle.
And that's how walkie-talkie works.
I want walkie-talkie.
All right.
I want that
the
now.
The time is now to check in on this competition and see if I have done enough to pull ahead. I'm going to tap into activity and swipe over to see the score. Oh, yes. Sorry, Jay, but the day is still young. Thanks, everybody, and back to you, Kevin.
Yeah. Way to go, Jules. So in watchOS 5, we've enabled even deeper integration on the watch for apps, enabling them to work right in the moment. And apps can include interactive controls within notifications, so you can quickly do more without even opening an app, like extend your parking with Pay by Phone. And with shortcuts, there's also new opportunities for third-party apps to appear on Apple Watch right on the watch face. You can tap on a shortcut in the Siri face to order coffee, rent a bike, or pick up where you left off in a workout. You can even use your custom Siri commands that you created on your phone to speak on your watch. And for native apps building rich experiences, we've improved the Workout API for greater performance, and we've added the ability for third-party apps to play background audio.
Hmm.
This enables you to easily sync things, of course, like audiobooks, favorite playlists, guided meditations, right to your watch, and they'll be able to play continuously in the background. Hmm. Now, there's so many other features coming in watchOS, including things like the ability to customize the button arrangement in your control center, or you can add an air quality complication to your watch face. But one really exciting one is student ID cards. You're going to have the ability to add your student ID card to wallet on your iPhone and Apple Watch. And this works by simply holding your watch near a reader anywhere you can use your student ID cards.
That's to say
on
they're really
campus.
Making some progress.
You can get
with
access
watch.
To places
more more
like
useful.
Your dorm or the library or events on campus. You can even pay for things like snacks or laundry or dinners. And this works with your watch or your phone. And it will be available this fall, starting with these universities, and will expand to more
That's
campuses
great.
Over time.
I want to
Johns
be able
Hopkins,
to unlock my
your,
car.
Your alma
oh, yeah.
mater. Yeah.
I could go back to 1994 and yeah. open my door with my Apple Watch.
Now, this is also Pride Month, and we're really excited to introduce an all-new Pride Edition watch band. And we didn't stop there. We made a beautiful new face that matches perfectly with the band.
Now, when do you get that? I've been looking for that. I don't understand what I have to do to get that.
The face or the band?
Are available face. Today. And if you'd like to use available the new watch today. Face, you can choose to add it from the Watch Face gallery starting at noon today.
At noon.
Available today. That's some of what's coming
in Watch Face. Available today. We have an available today. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Thanks, Kevin.
Huge.
Thank you, Kevin.
Actually, I'm watch in all OS seriousness, I feel like they really are making that watch.
We're excited for you to
useful.
Try all of these I great agree. New features to help you stay more active and connected. Next up is Apple TV.
And this will be interesting, I think.
We introduced Apple TV 4K, and our customers love it. Since its introduction, the Apple TV business has grown an incredible 50%. Today, we've got some great new enhancements to Apple TV 4K and tvOS, and we think you're going to love them. So I'd like to invite Apple TV lead designer Jen Foltz to the stage to tell you all about it. Jen?
Thanks, Tim. Apple TV is built on an incredible platform, tvOS. And TVOS is built specifically for the living room to make it easy to enjoy your favorite TV shows, movies, apps, and games. Now, as Tim mentioned, last September, we introduced Apple TV 4K with the goal of bringing the highest quality cinematic experience right to your home. It offers both 4K and high dynamic range, including support for HDR10 and Dolby Vision. Time said the new Apple TV is a high-fidelity powerhouse. And to ensure you can enjoy this beautiful experience with as much content as possible, iTunes offers the largest collection of 4K HDR movies.
I bought a movie from 1995 the other night, and I was so pleased to see it was HDR 4K.
And you've previously purchased movies to 4K HDR for free on all available titles.
It is really... becoming also, a good place to get content for
there are
4K
also
TV.
Many 4K and HDR TV shows available from popular services
like
Amazon
Netflix.
Prime Video and Netflix. And we know what makes for an amazing cinematic experience is not just great picture quality, it's also incredible sound. So Apple TV 4K is bringing you the latest in audio technology.
Oh, Atmos. Oh, very
Dolby
nice.
Atmos.
Now I have to get an Atmos speaker system.
With Atmos, you get room-filling sound, the perfect complement to the stunning visuals of Apple TV 4K. Now, what makes Atmos so special is that unlike a traditional surround sound setup where sound is assigned to channels like the left or the right, Dolby Atmos has the ability to completely immerse you. Atmos moves sound in three-dimensional space, creating an experience with powerful audio that flows all around you. It puts you right in the center of the action. All this with a home theater
so
setup
is a little catch up, both the
as
Amazon
a Dolby
Fire
Atmos
TV
enabled
and the Ultra
soundbar
version
and
of
an
the
Apple
Roku
TV 4K.
Atmos, but this is,
in fact,
it's
Apple
extremely
TV 4K
important.
Is the only streaming player to be both Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos certified.
Ah, all right.
Can I listen to my Apple TV through my HomePod?
And this fall, iTunes will be bringing you the largest collection of Atmos content anywhere. And just like with 4K HDR, your iTunes libraries will be upgraded to include Dolby Atmos
fantastic.
On all supported titles for free.
Fantastic. Now I do have to get those Atmos speakers.
Now, of course, these movies and so much more are available in the Apple TV app. The Apple TV app is the center of your video experience.
Now that Netflix is in there, I've been using it.
A single place to find and watch what you love
and I'm very
across
happy
your
with
favorite
it.
Apps. It's on Apple TV, iPad, and iPhone, where you can find not only on-demand TV shows and movies, but also live content, including sports. The Apple TV app now offers a huge range of live sports. And we've added live news to make it even easier to stay current. The addition of live sports and news providers brings the coverage of the TV app to over 100 video channels, giving you a massive selection
of content.
So this
is Apple's vision for the TV app is finally starting to come to fruition.
With all this, Apple TV is the best box to connect.
They really want this. They should just said it. They want it to replace the cable box.
As more and more cable companies fundamentally shift how video gets to your TV.
Mm-hmm.
This typical cable box is becoming a thing of the past.
This is Apple's ambition.
As these companies embrace internet-based delivery.
Microsoft wanted to do it, couldn't.
And many of them share our vision of Apple TV as the one device for live, on-demand, and cloud DVR content. And we've already started working with partners around the world to make this a reality.
Not Comcast.
In France, we're working with Canal Plus. Almost a third of French households subscribe to Canal services. And their subscribers can now choose Apple TV to access more than 100 live channels.
Well, that's what we've been waiting for. Is that on your bingo card? French TV?
French Open 4K.
No.
In Switzerland, we've partnered with Salt. Salt just launched a new TV service with more than 300 live TV channels. And it's available exclusively on Apple TV. And I'm really excited to announce that here in the U.S., Charter Spectrum will be coming to Apple TV late this year. That means that up to 50 million homes will be able to choose Apple TV to access all their live channels and thousands of on-demand programs. And they'll be able to use Siri and the TV app to get access to their TV service, not only on Apple TV, but on iPhone and iPad as well.
You got to get Comcast to make this
work.
Now,
with nearly any cable subscription, you can get access to dozens of video channels, like ESPN, Showtime, NBC, and many more. But it used to be really painful
Comcast
to set up,
its own X1
having to authenticate each app individually. I'm sure
set,
all of you have seen that six-digit code.
I
you have to go online and type into
see
a
them
web
ever
browser.
Going along with Apple.
Well, last year we introduced single sign-on. Enter your cable credentials only once, and we unlock all of the apps your subscription supports.
Thank God.
Well, now we're making it even easier with zero sign-on.
Okie dokie. Of course, your cable company has to cooperate.
So now, if you're on your TV provider's broadband network, we'll securely and automatically unlock all the supported apps included with your TV service.
Are you?
No credentials needed.
I use Comcast,
it just works.
But I wonder if this
Charter
will work.
Spectrum.
It's going to be another Charter.
This is really awesome.
Who else?
And Charter Spectrum will be the first to support zero sign-on, and we'll be
so
adding
you're
more
never
providers
see
over
Comcast.
Time.
We're
also giving you even more options for ways to control your Apple TV. For example, you can get quick access on your iPhone, where Apple TV users will get the Apple TV remote automatically added to Control Center. And for those that have installed home control systems, we're working with the leading providers so that you can use their remotes to control your Apple TV, even including support for Siri. At Apple, I love working with an amazing team, designing for a product that I enjoy every day and on the biggest screen in my home.
About an hour and a half in, we still have Mac OS to go.
I get to watch all my favorite movies, TV shows, and more. Over 48 million songs, including the best metal on Apple Music. All of my photos, videos, and memories. As well as thousands of apps and games that many of you have built. And Apple TV brings some amazing views right to my living room with aerials.
Do love those.
Now, one of the questions I get asked the most about aerials, especially by my family members, is where is this? Well, this fall, with just a tap of the Siri remote, you'll now be able to
hallelujah.
See every aerial location.
That's been driving me nuts. There you go. This one is a new one. I really like it.
You can even swipe between locations so you can see even more. And today, I have an incredible new location to share with you. For the past year, we've been collaborating closely with an amazing partner, filming some stunning footage from around the world with a very unique vantage point.
Don't say Marvel. Don't say Marvel.
And here it is.
Earth. I one of my favorite planets.
I don't know. It's in my top three.
This is filmed by astronauts aboard the International Space Station.
That's cool.
That is.
You can see Sicily just off the boot of Italy. And check out that Mediterranean Sea. The blue is just phenomenal. So here's a fun fact. The space station makes an orbit every 90 minutes. So that means they get 16 sunrises and sunsets every day. And with all those sunsets, nighttime can be particularly stunning, the way those urban areas
get real
pop
time,
with light. Here we are flying over South Korea toward Japan.
Be nice if it
you can see Tokyo coming into view at the top, some distant stars, and even the upper reaches of the Earth's atmosphere, which is that orange band enveloping the Earth. And here's one that might look a little more familiar. This is the Northern California coast heading southward. You can see Lake Tahoe surrounded by snow caps and the San Francisco Bay. These are truly incredible and offer such a unique perspective on the world. I'd like to give a huge thanks to the International Space Station, National Lab, and CASIS for all their help in making this a possibility.
I want to see Elon's Tesla in one of them. That's great.
These are going to look incredible at home in 4K HDR. So that's TVOS. Apple TV gives you amazing picture and sound.
I wonder if they mentioned
content. HDR and now Dolby Atmos.
Yeah.
And the Apple TV app is the center of your video experience.
It's really interesting.
Available on Apple TV, iPad, and iPhone. It's the one place to find
all
your
favorite
TV shows, movies, sports, and news. And with that, I'll hand it back to Tim. Thank you.
So here's what we're going to do. I know Tim Cook's coming on the stage. I'm going to pause the tape. Pause for a moment so I can mention our great sponsor, and you will not miss a second of this. So we're freeze framing here. Tim is halfway out on the stage, and we'll be right back to the stage and more of WWDC. But first, a word from the great folks at IT Pro TV. They sponsor this entire show. Prepare your team for the most competitive certifications with over 4,000 hours now of on-demand IT training. They add 125 more hours every week. It's engaging, it's fun, it's entertaining, and it's everything you need if you want to get a job in IT, if you want to keep your job or get a better job in IT. Things like CEH version 9, the Certified Ethical Hacker Cert, CISA, CCNA Security, CompTIA's A+. That's a big one if you want to be an IT fix-it guy. Kali Linux, if you want to be a pen tester, and a lot more. Yeah, they cover everything. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand. There's no need to send your staff off-site for expensive training. Get the team portal. You'll be set. And by the way, this is not one of those voiceover slide snooze fests you see in so much IT training. This is fun. These guys are great trainers. They know their content. They make it engaging. And you can watch it anywhere on your Apple TV, your Roku. They've got apps for iOS and Android, your desktop, your Fire TV. Put it on your big screen. Put it on your phone. Listen in the car. And almost by osmosis, you're going to gain so much information. Now, if you're getting the team portal, this is really fantastic. You'll get control over your team's schedule. You can track your team's results via the pro portal with metrics like logins and viewing time and courses viewed and tracks completed. It is a great way to keep your team going. Some of the biggest, best companies use IT Pro TV to keep their IT professionals on their toes. Go to go.itpro.tv/WWDC. You can learn more about IT Pro.TV team solution, request a free team trial, and sign up for an individual monthly membership. In fact, it's a really good deal. 7-day free trial. go.itpro.tv/WWDC. Use the code WWDC. You get 30% off, not just for the first month or first year, but as long as you stay active. 30% off. go.itpro.tv/WWDC. Offer code WWDC. Flexible training, binge-worthy content. ROI proven. We want to get back to the stage at WWDC, but stay tuned because I want to tell you about a free offer that IT Pro TV just decided to do that's really great for people interested in Macs. Back to Tim Cook on the stage at WWDC.
Of all Apple products, for more than 30 years, the Mac has empowered people to create
Tim's
all
reassurance
kinds of amazing
speech.
Things.
We still love the Mac.
From the personal to the professional.
You're not feeling a lot
today,
of love.
Today, we're excited to take Mac a huge leap forward.
Oh, dear. What?
The next version of Mac OS is chock full of new features inspired by pro users.
Not that huge.
But designed for everyone. I'd like to bring Craig back up to talk about it. Craig?
Hello again. Matt, it's true that Mac OS is the heart of what makes a Mac. And we want as many Mac users as possible to have access to our latest software.
And that's why 6 years ago, with the introduction of OS X Mavericks, we began offering our macOS updates free for Mac users. And 2013 was also the year that we first introduced our California naming theme. Now, after spending a year by the ocean, we not only modernized the look and feel of macOS, but we headed to the mountains with macOS Yosemite. Now, as you may be aware, our naming of Mac releases is handled by our crack marketing organization. And as you probably noticed, they went on a 4-year mountain-bound bender. In El Capitan, we added Metal, our groundbreaking graphics technology. In Sierra, we brought Siri to the Mac and extended our capabilities and continuity. And last year, with High Sierra, we focused on deep technology, preparing the Mac for future innovation. Well, this year, we've made some striking changes to macOS. And we've left the high country for a place entirely different but no less beautiful, and here still in California. And I'd like to take you there now.
There's the dunes.
Our next release of macOS is macOS Mojave. Wow. Now, Mojave is beautiful during the day, but what really captured our imagination was the beauty of the desert at night.
At night.
And this inspired one of our most distinctive new features, and I'd like to show it to you now. So here we are live in macOS Mojave, and I'd like to show you a new side of Mojave. We call it dark mode.
Ah, very nice. Professionals will like this for photo editing and things like that. This is welcome. I mean, it's a small change, but
now, as you see, dark mode is not just about the dock or the menu bar. It extends to your Windows Chrome, your sidebar, and even the content of the Windows. And it's so great for pros. It makes photographic content absolutely pop off the screen. It's just gorgeous. So nice. And this is great not just for photography, but when working on presentations or documents. It's also great doing ordinary things if maybe you're working in a dark environment. You just look at calendar, even
so
mail.
Dark.
In dark mode.
It's the darkest of the dark.
And I think some of us are going to want to run dark mode just because it's so cool. I mean, your emoji look great. Your photos.
You spend more than a minute on this, you really spend too much time.
Check out your album art and music, or your For You feed in Apple Music. But I think one audience that's going to especially appreciate dark mode, or some of you here in this room, are developers, because Xcode looks fantastic in dark.
Oh, come on. Every code editor ever written supported dark mode
or even
since the beginning of time.
All of its inspectors, they just look fantastic in black. And that's a quick look.
Apple prevents you from customizing the OS and then gets applause for adding one more theme.
Changing desktop wallpaper. We decided to add a new feature to Mojave that I think you'll enjoy. It's called Dynamic Desktop. And when you're using it, your desktop actually subtly changes throughout the day from morning to afternoon to evening. It's really cool. Now, there's much more
exactly functionality
that I'd like to share with you through demos. And it starts with the desktop. Now, the desktop is so crucial to how many of us use our Macs. When we have files that we're actively working on, we often put them
Apple
on the desktop.
Might have to rethink,
but the result can be
its keynote strategy
a desktop
at
that
this
looks something
point.
Like this.
If they don't have a big announcement,
Mojave, we have a really
I don't know
great
if they need
solution.
A big keynote like
and we
this.
Call it
all it does is it serves
stacks.
To make them feel like, I don't know, they're overhyping something minor.
Like a ruler?
Yeah,
all
like a ruler.
The contents of your desktop are automatically
do a keynote when you have something
into
big
these
to say.
Stacks. And they can be arranged by kind, by date, or even by tag. And they're really easy to use. You just click on them. You can see all the contents in the stack. You can double-click to open a document. and put it away. And they stay organized. So for instance, if I bring forward mail, maybe I drag an image out, I want you to watch what happens, because the image flies right into the right stack. Now, you can also
so they
scrub
put folders
your
on the desktop.
So for instance, I'll just scrub across this stack. You see, I can select between different
it's not
photos.
A folder, it's a stack.
Pick one up. Actually, let me just hide mail here. Mid-drag. Got a little excited with my with all of my stack action.
I don't blame you. This is pretty damn exciting,
Coker. So I can just drag this out and drop it in just like that.
Wow.
And that's a quick look at stacks. Now, we've also brought some great new changes to the Finder. I'd like to show them to you now. Now, it starts with a new view. We all enjoy using icon view, list view,
no,
of course, column view, but now we've added an all-new view called gallery view. Has a big preview up top, a set of thumbnails along the bottom.
The
it makes it easy
view.
To preview images,
you can see the images
video,
in the
yeah, but no, they have
presentations,
that. Oh, on the bottom they have thumbnails.
Documents, spreadsheets.
This is a lot like the preview.
PDFs.
Mode.
And of course, with images, sometimes you want to know more detail about, for instance, how they were captured. And now the new sidebar in Mojave really helps because it now supports full metadata. So you can see around your photo the camera you took the photo on, the kind of lens, the aperture settings, and so forth. It's really handy. And you'll notice also along the bottom, there's this new area called Quick Actions. And Quick Actions let you act on the current photo. So for instance, if I have a photo like this,
so they're actually
this,
really bringing
and I
photos
edit
functionality
it, I don't have
the
to open it and go or do a new app. I can rotate it right here inside the Finder. It's really
that's
powerful.
Nice.
Now, this sidebar is available in other views of the Finder. So, for instance, I'm just going to bring up the preview pane here, and I'm going to do a multi-selection of a PDF as well as several images. And you'll notice that the Quick Actions area is contextual. So it shows me Create PDF as an option. I'm going to click Create PDF, and it's going to assemble all of these
nice.
Photos into mm-hmm. a PDF just like that. But what's really great is these actions are also customizable. So you can create automator actions and assign them to buttons here inside a Finder. So you'll notice that now that I have this PDF selected, I have an option to run a custom automator action that I've created called Watermark PDF. When I click it, my custom action runs, and my document is watermarked.
That's nice.
Just like that. And those are some quick enhancements to the Finder. Now, a tool that I think many of us love when working with files is Quick Look. And now in Mojave, we've made Quick Look more powerful than ever by integrating markup.
I use
Let me show you
lot.
How it works.
I like Quick Look. It's very handy.
So you see down here, I have a permission slip. It's a PDF document. I'm just going to hit tap spacebar to Quick Look it. And you notice now I have the option to invoke markup. I click, and now I have access to my markup tools.
Nice.
Including my ability to sign this document.
Ah, fantastic.
I can just drag out my signature like this.
Smile on my Mac's
and
not going to be happy.
No, this works
but
for
that's
all
a great
kinds
feature.
Of files.
There's a lot
so
of people
instance,
want that. That's
with
great.
With images, I can rotate and crop. And with video, I can even
it's
trim
a really interesting idea.
Right here. Inside of Quick Look.
This is...
That's a Quick Look at Quick Look.
Something that computer scientists have been thinking about for decades, the idea of
next,
a...
and then
proposed, but never really manifested, the idea of a file-centric
and we've made
operating system
more powerful
that gave
than
you
ever
those kinds
Mojave.
Of functionality in the operating system. Mm-hmm. I think that's very interesting.
So let's take a look here at a web page. And I'm just going
to
take a
well suited to do this because all of these
way.
Capabilities are kind of surfaced with
page.
SDKs, with kits.
I want you to watch what happens
so it's not
right.
so hard, I think, to add this.
I get
Finder for a long time was ignored,
that
the
screenshot.
User interface.
And when I double click in, I get an accelerated workflow
they've
right
obviously
into
put some
markup
effort into the
where
Finder
I have access
thing.
To all of my tools. So, for instance, if I want to create a magnification here, I can just drag that out. Magnify. It's that easy. But now we've also made it easier to access a variety of tools. So when I bring up my screenshotting, you see I have been presented with this HUD that tells me I could capture the entire screen, a selected window or selection, but we've also added screen capture for video.
Looks like they've been paying attention
right
to the kinds of things people are trying to do.
Let me show you how that works. So I'm going to go to a web page here that has an animation
and
running.
To not have to open an application, but to do some of these things quickly, I think it's a good idea.
Say to record the selected area.
Look at that.
I'll just make a nice selection
a little
here.
Video of the screen.
Okay, and I'm recording just like
very
that.
Very nice.
Of course, I can manipulate the app, so all be reflected in my recording. And when I'm done, I can click the stop button right up here. And now you notice I have this thumbnail in the lower right. Well, I can actually pick this up and drag it into a new space and incorporate it right into a document, just like that. Now, we further enhance the way you capture content, and that brings me to continuity.
This is actually kind of almost a new metaphor about how
for the way
people
lets
use
us work
computers.
Across
I think
our
this
devices
is very interesting.
With things like AirDrop.
You're seeing it in mobile, too.
To unlock your Mac,
they're getting away from app.
When
you know, traditionally
content,
you launch an app to do something. You launch a program to do something. The idea that the operating system can do that by using snips of the app.
And so we wanted to
Android's been doing this,
and
this is, I think this is a really good idea.
We call continuity camera. Let me show you how it works. So here in my keynote presentation, I have a space that's just waiting for a new photo. And I have my phone right here. Well, when I select this object, I can choose to take a photo.
This is nice. This
and I want,
is the,
want you to watch what happens when I select this to my
capability.
Phone. It automatically immediately lights up, ready to take a photo. So
but
I can take one.
Much more sophisticated
like this.
Use of it. This is great.
And when I do, I can select
very
use
nice.
Photo, and it appears directly in my document. Isn't that cool? Now, this works as well for scanning documents. So here I have a place where I could use a scan. Once again, I'm going to select from the menu, and this time scan document. Again, my camera lights up.
This is actually
this
all very
right
encouraging because
scanner.
The more the Mac is part of the iOS ecosystem, the better it is for the Macintosh.
It. And my scan and goes
clearly
immediately.
They've been, this is almost a way of saying we have been paying attention to the
that,
Mac.
Everybody. There you go.
They've
appears
done
immediately
some really
in my document.
Interesting stuff
thank
here.
You.
This may be the most significant improvement in Finder
so just
in years.
Like that, I can take photos,
many,
stills,
many years.
And even capture video. And this is a quick look at some great new features in Mojave.
And that's very encouraging. For people like me who've been worried about the Mac, I think this
next,
is very
I'd
reassuring.
Next, like to turn to apps. We are bringing news to the Mac.
Yeah, this I don't care so much about.
Now, news has all of the stories you've come to expect from news on
this
iOS.
This is exactly the opposite.
Amazing
this is
amazing on the Mac
this
display.
This is making
you
the Mac more
stories,
like iOS, which I'm less excited,
editors,
much less excited about.
Trending stories. You're personalized for you, and that's not for me. And you also get this great new sidebar where you can drill in and jump right to the topics and channels you follow. News is going to be great. We also have stocks coming to the Mac. Now, you get your stock prices combined with high-quality business news. It's delivered from Apple News. Shows you your watch list with your prices on the left. You can even drill into this interactive chart to get more information. And, of course, great news. We're also bringing voice memos to the Mac. Now, voice memos is the most popular voice recorder on iOS. And so many of us use it to capture music recordings or lectures. And now that voice memos syncs via iCloud to your Mac, you can take those recordings that you make and, for instance, drag them right into GarageBand as the foundation for a song. Finally, thrilled to announce Home is coming to the Mac as well.
So this is what you don't like to it more.
This actually I could see using it.
All of your accessories here. You can run your
I
scenes.
Mean, my home has one
well
button, but.
As monitor your video cameras. And, of course, with Siri, you can command
this
your
is
home
all HomeKit
with
stuff.
Your voice.
And there's
so
a limited amount of HomeKit stuff, unfortunately. But that's probably what it should be.
Mojave.
It's interesting. It's these are completely contrary trends. One, the iOSification
next,
of the
I'd
Mac.
Like to talk
the other, making the Mac more
privacy.
powerful as a desktop operating system.
One of the reasons that people choose Apple products is because of our commitment to security and privacy. And we believe that your private data should remain private. Now, not because you've done something wrong or that you have something to hide.
All surprising to
but because
see
there can be
segment.
A lot of sensitive data on your devices, and we think you should be in control of who sees it.
Apple's going to be doubling
now,
down on this.
To begin, we protect your information on your devices using state-of-the-art hardware and software. And this year, we're adding greater protections about how apps can access that information. Today, Apple devices check in with you before granting an app access to information like your location. You can tell because you'll see an alert just like this one. And macOS already provides API-level protections for things like contacts, photos, calendar, and reminders. But now in Mojave, we're extending these protections to include your camera and your microphone,
very good,
as well as protecting sensitive parts of your file system, like your mail database, your message history,
good,
and your backups. And all of this is protected by default for any app that you run on the system. Important protection. Next, I want to turn to some great enhancements to Safari, because Safari works really hard to protect your privacy, and this year it's working even harder. Last year, we introduced intelligent tracking prevention to dramatically reduce the ability for apps to track you across websites using cookies. This is the kind of thing where you look at a product on one site.
This is something Google will never do, because this is how Google makes money.
And somehow this is
Apple's smart again to double down on this.
Well, we've all seen these like buttons and share buttons and these comment fields. Well, it turns out these can be used to track you,
yep,
whether you click on them or not.
Yep.
And so this year, we are shutting that down.
What does that mean?
Not sure. It's like
now, if you do want to interact with one of these, or one of these apps tries to access that
information, they can block this in the
you'll get this
browser,
and you can decide to keep your information private. Now,
again, something very difficult for Google to
next,
do.
Let's talk about fingerprinting. You know, data companies are clever and relentless. And in addition to cookies,
this is the most aggressive
they
I've
use
seen
another
Apple
method
on this.
Called
this is very
fingerprinting. And here's how it works. Just like you can be identified by a fingerprint, it turns out that when you browse the web, your device can be identified by a unique set of characteristics, like its configuration, its fonts that you have installed, and the plugins that you might have on the device. And these data companies can use this set of characteristics to construct a unique fingerprint to track your device from site to site. With Mojave, we're making it much harder for trackers to create a unique fingerprint. We're presenting web pages with only a simplified system configuration. We show them only built-in fonts. And legacy plugins are no longer supported, so those can't contribute to a fingerprint. And as a result, your Mac will look more like everyone else's Mac, and it will be dramatically more difficult for data companies to uniquely identify your device and track you.
This is good. This is from Apple's point of view, exactly the direction they should take.
Now, we're bringing all of these new protections to Safari on both Mojave and iOS 12. Next, let's talk about the Mac App Store. And to do that, I'd like to invite to the stage Ann Tai, our product marketing manager for the App Store.
Ann Tai what?
Ann.
What is she, Ann Tai? Is she anti-disestablishmentarianism?
We completely redesigned App Store on iOS. Every day, we celebrate apps, games, and developers. We've written more than 4,000 stories for the new Today tab, and hundreds of them have each been read by more than a million people. The response has been incredible, and we've learned a lot. We've got a bunch of great new features coming later this year that we'll cover in sessions. This year, we are turning our attention to the Mac App Store.
Now, I don't know who it was who screamed there, but I'm thinking it's the guy who worked on this.
We download and install software for Mac, making it easy with one click. It's the biggest catalog of Mac apps in the world. It's also a trusted and or safe place to download software.
Could be his mom.
And trusting where you get your apps from has become more important than ever. Developers can distribute their apps to 155 countries and get worldwide payment processing, and it offers seamless software updates from one place. This adds up to a great experience for our users. We've spent a lot of time thinking about what people do on their Macs and wanted to create a place organized around those themes. So we've redesigned an all-new Mac App Store from the ground up, and we're thrilled to show it to you now.
Well, that's interesting.
Looks like that.
Didn't expect that.
It's got a beautiful UI that should feel familiar,
dark
but
mode.
New, and designed first and foremost to be a great Mac app. Starting with the new Discover tab, where each week you can find in-depth editorial about the best Mac apps through stories and collections, and see what's most popular with top charts. Here's a story about musician and founder Kareem Morsi. Learn about how he uses his app, DJ Pro 2, and get inspiration for your own set. Helpful videos autoplay so you can see what apps are capable of before downloading them. Visit the all-new Create, Work, Play, and Develop tabs, where you'll find helpful recommendations and expertise around each theme. Here's the Create tab, where you can find apps that bring your artistic ideas to life. These tabs will also help you make the most of apps you might already have, with tips and tutorials even the most expert users will find useful. The Work, Play, and Develop tabs share the same beautiful design, and you can still browse by category on the Categories tab. We've redesigned product pages too, bringing many features over from iOS based on our learnings there. It has more useful information, like video previews, available on the Mac App Store for the first time, an app's rank if it's charting, and if it's been named Editor's Choice. Ratings and reviews are now front and center. And these are so important for app discovery. So we're introducing a ratings and review API for Mac apps. Now it'll be easier than ever for people to leave feedback. We're really excited about the all-new Mac App Store. We've talked to some developers already, and they're really excited too. Like Microsoft, who will bring Office 365 to the Mac App Store later this year.
Ah, interesting. An App Store version of
Microsoft
Office.
And Adobe is bringing Lightroom CC.
Oh, wow.
Panic is bringing Transmit.
Now, this is all interesting because Panic pulled Transmit from Instance, and so did Barebones.
And many more great
from the App Store because it couldn't, they couldn't do what Apple wanted them to do to be in the App Store. This is interesting. Maybe Apple has either loosened their restrictions.
So we think the Mac App Store is going to inspire a whole new generation of apps. And so we want to talk about some of the technologies that will be behind some of that next generation. We spoke earlier about ARKit. I want to talk about two more. And let's start with Metal. Now, Metal is the technology to get the highest performance graphics and computation from graphics processors. Metal was designed for modern GPUs. It's incredibly
efficient.
Yeah,
a lot of questions about...
And that enables amazing console-level games like Fortnite from Epic to run great for the first time on mobile. But Metal also enables these games to scale to take full advantage of modern Macs. In fact, across iOS and the Mac, there are over 1 billion Metal-enabled devices. And we're constantly making Metal better. To bring the highest GPU performance and reach of all Macs, we've recently added support for external GPUs. And this is powered by Metal. And the results are truly mind-boggling. For instance, running a filter in DaVinci Resolve, look at how it scales on the incredibly fast iMac Pro as you add up to 4 eGPUs. Now, the results are even more staggering when you take a 13-inch MacBook Pro
really,
and
you have
eGPUs
to add an eGPU to your
achieving up to 8.5
times
speed up. It's pretty awesome. Now, eGPUs also enable Macs to achieve all new levels of performance and realism in 3D rendering and gaming. Now, this beautiful forest you see here, this isn't a video capture. This is from Unity's new Book of the Dead interactive demo, and it's being rendered live right now on a MacBook with an eGPU powering this display. I mean, doesn't this look amazing?
eGPUs are external Thunderbolt 3 graphics cards.
Now, because this is
very expensive.
Live, we can check what's
and it
up
really,
so let's start walking.
For Apple to promote this is an acknowledgement that they have anemic GPUs in their computers.
To generate real-time lighting and complex post-processing effects. So cool. And that's all rendered live
really
on a MacBook running with an eGPU. It's pretty great.
I'm not sure what their point is here.
Now, another place where we're doing incredible acceleration with Metal is in machine learning. And today, ML specialists usually use one of these third-party libraries to train their models using servers. And now it turns out we can accelerate tools like this with our new Metal Performance shaders. We're seeing speed-ups of up to 20 times in using the GPU with Metal instead of CPU-based training. And while speeding these tools up is great, we actually think there's a better way for most developers. And that's training on the Mac you already have using a great new tool we call CreateML.
And $50,000 worth of eGPUs.
Now, CreateML is designed to let you train without being a machine learning expert. You can train vision and natural language models. You can bring your own custom data, and it's really easy to use.
See, I don't know who would use this.
In
given
fact,
the,
you can use Xcode Playgrounds to train your model. Just
the
drag
TPUs
one
that
in.
Google offers and Microsoft
set,
similar
test set as well.
Azure-based
and
hardware.
And the training is all GPU accelerated, so it's incredibly fast. Now, as an example, we worked with Memrise. They're a developer who uses the camera to identify objects and speak them in multiple languages.
And
in the past, they would train their model with 20,000 images, and it would take them 24 hours to do so. Well, now, with CreateML, they can train that same model in 48 minutes on a MacBook Pro. And on an iMac Pro, it's just 18 minutes. And what's even more incredible is that model in the past for them was 90 megabytes, and now it's just 3 megabytes. It's a huge difference. Now, we also are making models run much faster on device using CoreML2. Now, CoreML is our technology for high-performance on-device machine learning, and now it's better than ever. It's 30% faster in on-device processing using a technique called batch predictions. And you can reduce your model size by up to 75% using quantization. And so that's CoreML and CreateML. You no longer have to be an expert in machine learning to build those techniques into your app. Now, these technologies are redefining what's possible in apps. And they're common not just to macOS, but also to iOS. And the fact that the Mac and iOS share so much technology has led people almost every year to keep asking us the question, are you merging iOS and macOS? So I'd like to take a moment to briefly address this question. No. Of course not.
It's not answering the right question, but okay. That's the question, really, is what is the future of Mac OS?
And we love Mac OS because it's explicitly created to the unique characteristics.
It's not the issue. It's not whether they're going to merge the two.
Of the keyboard and the trackpad.
But it's whether they're going to continue to devote resources to desktop.
And because of the power it exposes, it makes the Mac able to accomplish almost anything. So we think that this question is actually coming from something else.
It bothers me that they answered this question.
Mac users have access to a rich set of great native applications, apps that take full advantage of the power of Mac technologies.
You know, what's the future of Mac OS?
Mac users also use apps based on other technologies. We routinely access web-based experiences like Netflix that build on WebKit, the standards-based web technology in Safari. And we also run sometimes cross-platform games. built on technology like Metal. And all of these platforms enrich the Mac user's experience. But we think there's room for one more. And so we'd like to give you a sneak peek of a multi-year project we have going on. Because we see a huge opportunity for the Mac to tap into the world's most vital app ecosystem. It's called iOS. Uh-huh. I think you might be familiar with it. Now, there are millions of iOS apps out there, and we think some of them would be absolutely great on the Mac. And Mac users would love to have them there. And from a technical standpoint, it's actually a really good fit, because from day one, iOS and macOS have shared common foundations. But iOS devices and Mac devices, of course, are different, and the user interfaces are somewhat different.
Not much
and so
longer.
The frameworks underneath are as well. And that makes today porting an app from one to the other some work.
We wanted to make this much easier.
And so we've
taken to an ARM-based
some key
Mac.
Frameworks from iOS and brought them to the Mac. And we've adapted them to specific Mac behaviors, like use of trackpad and mouse, window resizing, integration of things like copy and paste and drag and drop into the system services
on
the Mac.
And how do you use iOS apps without touch?
Now, phase one of this effort is to test it on ourselves. So this year in macOS, we've taken some of our own iOS apps, and we brought them to the Mac using this technology to make sure it works well. You've actually heard about several of them earlier today. And it turns out they make fantastic
Mac apps. None of these are touch forward, are they?
And we were able to bring them to the app with the Mac with very few code changes. Now, this is going to be coming to you developers next year. So you can easily bring your iOS apps to
the Mac. This is the beginning of the Mac.
And in the meantime,
I'm sorry, but that's
we hope
what
you enjoy
is.
News, stocks,
actually,
voice memos, and home.
Not even the beginning.
Mojave.
That's been going on for a while.
Now, we're really excited about Mojave. From desktop,
although again,
stacks,
I want to reiterate,
Finder,
I am excited too that
view,
they have clearly been putting effort into the Finder.
Enhanced screenshots and markup, news and home on the Mac for the first time, stocks, and of course the redesigned Mac App Store.
I think the developers are thinking
and of course,
very hard right
even
now.
More.
They're asking themselves a
like
lot of
APFS
questions.
APFS now supports Fusion and hard drives, and Safari tabs can now have favicons if you want them there. And,
well,
of course, group FaceTime. So that's macOS Mojave. I hope you like it. I'm going to hand it back to Tim. Thank you so much.
Well, there you go. All four of the operating systems they promised, iOS, tvOS, watchOS, and macOS. I think we're ready to wrap it up.
What a huge update to macOS.
2 hours and 11 minutes in.
And what an extraordinary morning. We got started with iOS 12. With all new capabilities, including taking AR further than ever before, bringing Siri to any app with Siri shortcuts and screen time, and cool new communication features like Memoji and Group FaceTime, and WatchOS, now with walkie-talkie, activity competitions, new workouts, new Siri capabilities, and so much more. And Apple TV 4K, now with Dolby Atmos, some great new partnerships, and the ease of zero sign-on. And you're going to really love those new aerial screensavers. And macOS Mojave, with all new dark mode, great updates to desktop and Finder, enhanced privacy and security, and a completely redesigned Mac App Store. The updates will be available to our users this fall, and there will be developer betas for each of them after the keynote this morning. Thank you. Now, before we close, we wanted to celebrate you and the amazing work that you do. So we went out and talk to some of the most important people in your lives, the ones that know you the best. And we made a short video, and I'd love to run it for you now.
The parents of iDevelopers. What I do, what my mom thinks I do.
I don't have any idea at all how to create an app. I don't understand any of it.
Thank you.
Ask me another question.
My son is a developer at Robinhood.
My daughter, Jyoti, is a WWDC 2018 scholarship winner.
My brother started and founded Yelp.
Polio.
Timeless.
One drop.
Splitter critters.
Homer.
Homer. You gotta look at her.
My brother, Derek, created the app Refugees and Immigrants, the creative. The collective. Why did I say the creative?
At Christmas time, when most kids maybe would want skis or something, he wanted computer books. He stayed in his bedroom making games while the other kids were outside
line,
playing.
He stayed in his bedroom.
When she's really doing the coding, almost always we have to tell my daughter to stop. But then my daughter would be like, just give me another 10 minutes. You know, I want to get this solved first.
When I watch him code, his eyes move in a weird way, and he's like totally focused. Even when my friends are over, I'd say, well, look at Christopher. Look at him. And they'd go, wow.
Does he even know we're looking
at
him?
When he first came to us with the idea, we were like, okay, good luck. He started off in his small little one-bedroom apartment with next to nothing and sacrificed eating a burger and just have ramen just so that he could. And I'm like, just buy the burger. And he's like, no, that's $3 that I could put towards the app.
Jeremy went out to build the first version of Yelp, and it was a total bust, total failure.
She tried really hard on a couple different titles.
Then he decided to sue Google, and life has changed. Yeah,
that's a really rough feeling.
That was definitely a low point for Jeremy, because it was like, hey, we got to retool and try again. What Jeremy did notice in the data was that people loved writing comments. And that was really the genesis of the second version of Yelp, which worked.
You have to be really okay with waking up to failure. And then at the end of a whole bunch of failures is something that's great.
Tessa didn't really think, I want to make an app. Tessa found a problem of food waste, which you could use the app to help to solve.
Emma's grandma was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She even forgot my daughter's birthday. So Emma tried to search for an app that would help, but she couldn't find it. So she said, you know, why don't we just do it ourselves?
My husband was a diabetic. That inspired Jeffrey to do something about diabetes. And it's an answer to a lot of people's prayers.
Jesse won the iPhone Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that he made it. I mean, to me, it was remarkable.
She pulled out her cell phone, and I saw his app on her phone, and I was like, trying not to forget. Oh, my gosh.
For my wife, it's not just creating. It's really wanting to be a part of something big.
The one lesson that I learn from Jeremy every day is just that determination, tenacity, the focus. He foresaw the impact that the iPhone was going to have, and he bet everything on getting an app for it. And I think that it was one of the most important things that Yelp did.
I think he's made a big difference, and so do thousands of other people.
She wants to not just learn, also teach others, and it makes me really proud to see her blossom.
As a parent, no better thing is that then your kids do what they want to do. Because it isn't how much money you've made, it's really what changes you've left behind. And she's hoping to leave a lot of change behind.
Very nice.
I love that video. And I'm pleased that some of the developers are in the audience this morning. Their stories are great examples of all of your passion and your creativity. We love the work you do and the impact that it has on the world. It inspires all of us at Apple deeply every day. On behalf of everyone at Apple, thank you. And I'd also like to thank everyone at Apple who made today possible. Days like this,
this is
only
something
come
Steve started.
Years of effort and hard work and great sacrifice.
And acknowledgement of the developers.
And so I thank them and their families. Let's have an incredible week together. Thank you.
Oh, he didn't get him to stand up. He just thanked him. Okay. 6,000 people in the McHenry Auditorium in San Jose Convention Center. Watching Tim Cook and the Apple team show off The next versions of four big Apple operating systems, macOS, iOS, watchOS, and tvOS, true to the rumor, no hardware. But it's good we had the rumor, because otherwise we'd be sitting here kind of with our jaws on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll tell you what, let's take a little break and then we can recap. The WWDC keynote 2018, 2 hours and 18 minutes.
Long,
not not a record
up.
Length, but a long time.
Two notifications
and
to stand up.
Two notifications to stand up long. Our show is brought to you by those great folks at IT Pro TV. Thank you, IT Pro TV, for making our special broadcast possible. Build or expand your IT career with IT Pro TV. They blend entertainment. See, this is what's different. It's engaging. It's fun with cutting-edge technology and education. Now more than 4,000 hours of on-demand IT training available in their extensive course library, the Certified Ethical Hacker courses, the CISA courses, CompTIA's A+, Mac Certified Support Professional, and more. It's a great way to get your first job in IT, an even better way to stay up on IT trends, to gain new skills, to get a better job in IT. And IT Pro TV does it live every day, so you know you're getting the most current training. They add 125 hours a week, and they do it like we do. Oh, they do many more hours than we do. They've got 5 studios because they have a chat room. It's engaging. It's fun. I really love what IT Pro TV is doing. Get started on Apple Certified Associate and Apple Certified Support Professional with IT Pro TV. And this is the special offer I mentioned earlier. For the month of June, this month, IT Pro TV is offering more than 57 hours of Apple IT training content free. It's part of their free basic membership. Normally with the basic membership, you watch what's live, so you watch what they're doing right now, but they're going to throw in another 57 hours of IT training. If you watched 2 a day, you'd be able to get them all in, but you got to start now at IT Pro TV. Whether you're eager to start a new career in IT or you're a seasoned pro, maybe you're looking for an engaging way to keep your team up to date. You got a great team solution. IT Pro TV offers effective and entertaining IT training. Just choose a plan, create an account, enjoy the journey. You're going to love it. Go to go.itpro.tv/WWDC. This is a new URL just for the event. go.itpro.tv/WWDC. You can sign up for an individual monthly membership. You'll get a 7-day trial free. And if you use the code WWDC, you'll get 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your account. As long as you stay active, that 30% stays active. That's a great deal. I'll give you an idea. There's a premium subscription. That's the highest level. It includes unlimited Kaplan IT training, practice exams. You get virtual labs, so you don't need Windows server. You can just run it in an HTML5 browser. It's awesome when you screw it up, which I do. You can close the tab, and you just pretend nothing happened. Normally $857 a year. You only pay $600 with that 30% discount. $600 a year, $50 a month, for the most engaging, most fun, best IT training. You will reap the reward of that in better earnings, a better job in a day, practically. go.itpro.tv/WWDC and use the code WWDC. And they also get group pricing if you want the team solution. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, life-changing results. I'm glad they can go along with us on this WWDC. And that special offer is pretty sweet. go.itpro.tv/WWDC. And don't forget the offer code, WWDC. We thank him so much for making our coverage of WWDC possible. apple.com/macOS/Mojave-preview is up. So if you want to see some more of what's in Mojave, I couldn't care less. Well, I shouldn't say that. The dark mode is an improvement. It's kind of a minor improvement. All other operating systems that I know of have had theming and have allowed you to do whatever colors you want. Apple's never allowed that. So having a switch for dark mode, that is, I guess, a big deal. To me, though, what's really interesting about what Apple's done with macOS 10.14 Mojave is a Finder with a lot more capability. The Finder's been, frankly, neglected for years on macOS. And I'm thrilled to see him put some capabilities into it. Not a hard thing, I think. I shouldn't say that. Made somewhat easier by the fact that macOS is designed with these modular kits like WebKit that make it easy, I think, easier anyway, for somebody to add into Finder some of these features. But it's great. You'll be able to edit photos. You'll be able to get a lot of the capability of the Photos app without opening it right there in the Finder. They're adding an interesting continuity handoff with the iPhone that I think is going to be pretty cool. The idea that you could, for instance, take a picture on the iPhone and have it immediately on the Mac, put it in a presentation. Markup added to preview on the desktop, that's huge also. The ability to sign a PDF, for instance, something that normally you'd have to download an app to do. Or
just do on your iPhone.
Or do it on your iPhone, yeah. This is all really exciting news. And you know, Craig Federighi took great pains to say, no, we are not merging macOS and iOS. I'm encouraged by the fact that they're putting energy into macOS. I'm a little more discouraged by the fact that they also announced that they're going to make it easier to put iOS apps on macOS. And it's almost with one hand he giveth and the other hand he taketh away. No, we're not merging them, but, oh, by the way, we're going to put the iOS apps on the Mac. That's interesting, to say the least.
But that was a few years off, they said.
It is a few years off. It's a project. He called it a sneak preview. They did put four of their apps on macOS, the news app.
Voice memos.
Not surprising with news because they're really pushing that big time, right? That's, they put a lot of money into that. They bought Texture. Yeah, voice memos, the stock app. I know you've been waiting for that. No weather. Sorry. What was the other one? And HomeKit, the Apple Home app. And that makes perfect sense.
But I use the Home app pretty often, and I've never noticed that it's not on my laptop. Probably just, yeah, I mean, it's just something that I would think just to use with my
iPhone. You know, I liken it to Sonos. So with Sonos, usually you pull out your phone and you control your Sonos speakers. Now you can actually control it with your voice, which is, in fact, the best way to do it. But this is that's why this is analogous. But there's always been a Sonos desktop app. And for the times, it's almost something for developers. I don't know if people sit at Macs anymore. Mm-hmm. But if you do, you do want HomeKit on there. You want to be able to. In fact, it's probably an easier way to set up routines to do it on your Macintosh. But I got the sense from the way he talked about it that these were really proof of concept. These were really about taking iOS apps, putting them in the desktop to show it can be done. And the message to developers is, get ready. Next year, you're going to get the tools to do this yourself. And I think if you're a developer and you have an iOS app, you're probably going to go to the whatever the session is that they talk about this and learn as much as you can now. Are there things you need to do as you develop? Does it have to be Swift? You know, can you use Unity? What are the limitations? What will you be able to do? The biggest question mark and the biggest limitation is, without touch, most iOS apps probably aren't going to be that useful. You know, are you going to play Monument Valley with a mouse? Maybe. This will be interesting to see. And it really does then, just as soon as he shot down the question, are you merging macOS and iOS, it brought it right back up, which is maybe tactically not the best thing he could have done. What do you think about iOS 12? Are you excited?
I am excited. It sounds like it's just going to be more efficient, hopefully more powerful. I like both of those things. I like the shortcuts. I'm going to try that. I mean, I like Ift. I use it pretty regularly.
If this, then that.
Yeah.
And remember, Apple bought Workflow, which we liked. It's been a pick on iOS Today several times, and it was kind of a geeky app that let you do some limited kind of workflow stuff with iOS. I was glad to see that Apple bought it, because only Apple really can access the guts of apps. Apple's security model keeps third parties from, you know, outside. But with Apple involved, they could make workflow something pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll be very interested to see. And it's going to integrate with Siri.
Yeah. I also liked the multi-user AR. I thought that was interesting, just because, you know, it makes AR. I think of VR as a really, like, it's less social, and just looking at your phone is less social. So anytime where two people could be playing in AR at the same time is interesting to me. It makes us less alone. Of course, I liked timers because I need Apple to help me control me.
Yeah. Apple did what Google has also done, which is very much acknowledge that they made an addictive product and we're going to help you wean yourself off. Although, as I think it was Joanna Stern from the Wall Street Journal pointed out on Twitter, they, on the one hand, mentioned, oh, we're going to help you, you know, use your phone less, and then they announced Memojis.
Right.
So it's Apple's, you know, kind of, I think they're torn. They want you to use your phone more, but they also want to give you the tools so you don't feel like it's a but you know, benign influence in your house.
Right, and especially at night, waking up in the middle of the night. And obviously I love the parental controls. I've used so many different kind of parental control apps with my kids that really the third-party apps are very hard to use, and they involve they mess up the kids' iPhones, they rearrange their, you know, their icons, and they kind of remove sometimes you have to turn off two-factor authentication, and they make the operating system a little less secure, and they're just really hard to use. So I'm excited that I might be able to have those parental controls on my phone and have them built into the operating system.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be able to say, like, everybody's phone stops working at 9 o'clock at night. And
I could see them doing that, yeah, actually. And of course you could always do it manually and lock and make sure that that's locked down. And I would imagine, well, I don't know. Will they have parental control style locks on the changes you make to the phone? It would be nice if they did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that they will. Because right now they have some parental controls, but they're very limited. And also, parental controls for a long time was focused on the kind of content that kids would be allowed to
look at. Well, now it's all about how much time you spend.
That's what I feel like. I mean, there's certainly issues with the kind of content, you know, self-made content that kids use. But really, it's not like, oh, I don't want them to watch a rated R movie. I don't want them to listen to, you know, music with bad lyrics.
I just want them to go to bed at 10.
Yeah. I just want them to go outside.
Get off the phone. Yeah. Go play.
So anything that, you know, especially not just like being able to do it at work, you know, it's summertime. My kids are home alone. What do you think that they've been doing since, you know, I left the house this morning at 8 and playing Minecraft?
The cynic in me, though, wants to say, well, you could always do that. Turn off your phone or put it in airplane mode at night. You could always make your phone be less compelling. It's almost as if Apple says, well, don't do that. We'll give you some simple tools that will turn themselves off after a period of time, because we don't want you to turn your phone off.
Right. People were not just only turning their phone off. They were turning the screen into, you know,
black and white. I showed you how to do that.
Yeah,
Kevin Rose's idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the Apple did not do that. That's something Google is doing with Android P, but Apple did not do that. But they did have a non-notification mode for overnight, which is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And that's something Google's doing with Android P. It's really interesting. Both companies are doing very similar things to make the phones less compelling. I love it that Apple is going to give you information about how much time you spend in an app, how many times you launched the app. I mean, some really granular information so that you'll be able to look at your phone and say, wow, I really spent a lot of time on Instagram. And, of course, they're also going to add a timeout feature where you could say, I don't want to spend more than 5 hours a day looking at pictures. And you can actually set that up and it'll say, hey, you've exceeded your time limit. Those are all useful tools.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're putting them in.
Yeah. It's just help with behavior modification, right?
Yeah. Anything else on iOS before we move to watchOS?
Well, I think that's all that, you know, that I've... There were lots of other things, but nothing that really caught my eye.
We will get it. The developers are getting a preview today of all of the new operating systems, and we will all get these in September and... Typically, that coincides with the release of the iPhone, the next iPhone, whatever that is, in September or early October. I look forward to it. I'm actually even more excited about watchOS. There's one feature in watchOS that really gets me excited. It's the walkie-talkie feature.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea, and I think I'll be very interested in how it's implemented because, of course, you know, if I allow, you know, probably you do this with your spouse, right? You would have Marco set it up. Well, he doesn't wear an Apple Watch, probably. Mm-hmm. Nor does Lisa. So I guess we're out of line. It's going to be you and
you
me.
And
we're
going to
be texting. We're going to be, Megan, what's for supper? And so what it is you press a big yellow button. Looks just like the Nextel phone yellow. Big yellow button on it. And you say something. And then it immediately goes to your watch. They said the audio quality is good. Now, I'm sure it was a canned demo. But the one with the woman on the bicycle talking to Peaches, her daughter, was very good audio quality, I thought. So you would do that. It would go to you. You could listen to it and then respond. So it's kind of almost asynchronous conversation. It's not full duplex, but it is kind of, I think, a very useful way. And I think a lot of times, you know, of course, it was heavily used in construction sites, but I think a lot of people use the Nextel phones to talk to spouses because you didn't want to make a full phone call. You just wanted to have a quick conversation. I think that's going to be a killer feature on the new Apple Watch. I'm pretty excited.
Well, there was one walkie-talkie app, I think it was called Walkie Talkie, that we had talked about. And then a month later was hurricane season last year, and there was flooding. And then it became the number one app in the App Store because people were using it in emergency situations. They were, instead of, like, you know, having to text, take the time to text, you just like, I'm up on the roof, I'm on the third floor. That kind of thing would be much easier. We also had someone who worked in a theater and wanted something like that, where just texting, when, you know, it's not like something you'd use all the time. Like, I really, Leo, would prefer you not to walkie-talkie me and ask me what you're having for dinner, because I have no idea.
It's kind of annoying.
But in certain situations, texting is just annoying, and talking on the phone is difficult too. So I think this will be nice.
It'll be nice to have. Obviously, you don't have to implement it. This is part of WatchOS 5, I presume, also in September. Not clear how much it depends on iOS 12, but it might, especially because apps are getting much more functionality on the watch. You'll be able to, for instance, if in a notification, respond to the notification, work with it on the watch directly, which I think is fantastic. A new API for workouts, including a competition API, which allows you to, used to be you just could, you know, applaud my workout. Now you'll be able to hector me. Mm-hmm. And say, I'm beating you, so forth.
Right. We can have a direct competition to say, I think we should.
I think, though, for some people, and certainly for me, competition actually is a motivator.
Yeah.
It's a helpful motivator. Mm-hmm. New features on workouts, including one that I've wanted for a long time on the Apple Watch. It will detect you working out and give you credit for what you've done up to now. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
This, I've had this for a while on the Samsung S3. When I started, not for every workout, but like for some, and Apple also is limited to certain workouts it can easily detect. But when I was walking, it would say, oh, I see you're taking a hike, and it would start recording it. It would pause when you stopped, when you sat down to lunch, and resume again. Automatic workout detection is going to be a nice feature. They're adding yoga. I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, I had a yoga workout before, but I guess it's like calorie burn and...
And heart rate.
Because I do, you know, I used to do an hour and a half session of Bikram yoga, which is...
Get no credit for that.
No.
I mean, that's the hot yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once they can measure how much I sweat, then that's going to be...
Some improvements that you liked in running as well, including rolling miles, which lets you see your split for the preceding mile at any time.
And notifying me when I've gone below my target pace.
That's
or
great.
Reached my target pace.
Yeah.
Sometimes you slow down and you don't even realize it.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast. Now, this is something Pocket Casts already does, but yeah. I think the interface is pretty nice. Apple Podcasts will let you listen to your podcasts and pick them up, not only on the watch, but anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It'll remember where you stopped. That's a nice feature. And as a podcaster, I'm happy about that. But do you pair your Apple Watch with your AirPods? Because that's really what you need to do. There's no headphone jack. You have to...
Yeah, no, I don't. Because usually when I'm running, my AirPods would fall out. So
right.
I just...
But you have other Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah.
Could you pair them to the Apple Watch? I think you could.
Yeah, I think you could. I never...
But you don't.
I never do. No.
You could put 4 gigs of music on here. You could have mm-hmm. podcasts on here. I don't know. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I'll probably use that. They say, now this is worrying to me, that Siri is going to be more responsive, that you won't have to say, hey, you know who, that just raising your watch will trigger her listening. But wait a minute, don't I raise my watch to see what time it is or to see notifications? How do it know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that will be nice because I don't like to say the words to, I don't like to talk to my watch, but I do press the button and that's annoying. And so what if it occasionally records something that you know.
I don't mind that. I just don't want it to take over the screen if I'm looking at what time it is and I get the Siri interface.
True.
That's terrible. I want to see this in action.
Yeah.
They're going to have to explain to me how it knows that I'm trying to activate Siri as opposed to look at what time it is. That doesn't make any sense. We shall see. They are going to add routines to Siri, too, both on iOS and on the watch. So you'll be able to say, I'm about to leave, you know, start my ride to work. And that'll be, I think, well, depending on how much work you have to put in to set it up, that'll be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea that you can get notifications you can interact with. Here's an example on the screen of a notification for a flight, upcoming flight, and a button that says check in. Now, you raised the interesting and most important point. If all that does is say, now open your iPhone, that is not much. If I can do, though, some of this stuff right from the watch, I'll be happy about that. Do Not Disturb has the same feature on iOS and watchOS that you can say, just for an hour or until I leave here. So I would use that when I get to work. Do Not Disturb until I leave this location. Mm-hmm. And then it would automatically turn it back on. I like that. If you have a student ID cards will work now at University of Alabama, Duke, Johns Hopkins, University of Oklahoma, Santa Clara University, and Temple. They're going to support it and the touchless reader. So you'll be able to open doors to the dorm. You'll be able to pay for food all with your watch. I think that's good, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to sell watches.
Pay for laundry. Imagine. Pay for your laundry with
imagine
your watch.
Doing laundry.
Did you not do laundry in college?
Well, I had an arrangement. I put it all in a bag, and then I just hung the bag out the window. And that way, I didn't have to worry about it.
Mm.
Yeah. Eventually, I'd run out of clothes, and I'd just buy some more. So, they did say something interesting about both iOS and watchOS. They're going to support older hardware. They said iOS 12 will support all the way back to iPhone 5S. WatchOS goes all the way back to Series 1. It does not go to the first generation Apple Watch. So you will have to have at least a Series 1 Apple Watch. Let's see. We mentioned iOS. We mentioned macOS. We mentioned watchOS. What's left? tvOS. Do you remember anything from that presentation?
Well, they were really talking more about getting rid of the cable box. But it seems like the Apple TV announcements always are...
They're aspirational.
Yeah.
This is what we'd like.
Yeah. So, like, we can get...
This is what we hope.
What we still can't do on the Apple TV is have everything, like, you know, we can get Netflix, but it's never like you were watching what, you know, you were just watching.
It's missing that feature, but yeah. I think we're going to get more of that. I think the TV app has gotten better. I am excited about the addition of
Atmos.
Dolby Atmos. I almost want to say Adobe Atmos. Atmos from Adobe. That actually sounds really good from Dolby. That's the upward firing speakers or speakers in your ceiling. If you go to an Atmos theater, it's really dramatic. We have an Atmos theater now in Petaluma, and there are, I counted at least 15 speakers. There's six speakers here. There's speakers there. There's speakers everywhere, and it really is a dramatic, not merely loud, but just a very elaborate, detailed soundstage that's all around you. That'll be a nice feature. Mm-hmm. It makes the Apple TV 4K more and more desirable for people with 4K TVs, HDR, nice sound systems. I'm glad they're doing that.
They had no sign-on. That was something, but I don't have a cable provider, so that's not
the real problem with both, you know, the TV app and live TV and this no sign-on is it only works with one cable provider in the whole country, Charter Spectrum. And there's no indication it'll ever work with anybody else. I'm sure they're trying to do deals. You know it will never work with Comcast because they have their own smart digital platform, the X1 platform, and they see the Apple TV as competitors. So the idea, Apple's been pushing this, Microsoft too, lots of companies have been pushing this for a long time, of replacing the dumb, really fairly bad cable set-top boxes. They're cheap, that's why cable companies use them, with something like an Apple TV. Well, I know users would love that, but the cable companies don't want it. And that's the real problem Apple's facing. Apple's been trying to put together something with Apple TV that could be, you know, a live TV experience, and they just haven't been able to do it. They did not mention, I was surprised, any of the new content they're bringing to Apple TV. Mm-hmm. And that leaves a big question mark, which is, how is that content going to surface? Is it going to be Apple Music now with TV shows? Is it going to be part of Apple TV? Apple gave us no indication of what their plans are. We know there's a lot of content coming. They're spending $1 billion over the next year and some really high-profile shows and high-profile performers, but no idea at all about how it's going to come to us.
And eventually I think they'll probably have apps and you'll be able to subscribe through the Apple TV. I think that is probably... I've heard rumors that that's the plan. Like you would subscribe to Netflix through your Apple TV. You'd subscribe to HBO Now through your Apple TV. And then they would get some income from that.
Yeah. And that's why no one's going to do it because Apple takes 30%. I was frankly surprised to see that they were talking. What were they talking about? Buying on the Mac.
Microsoft Office.
Microsoft Office. Yeah. They've added to the App Store Office. Is Microsoft going to cede 30% of its Office revenue to Apple? I doubt it. They must have made a special side deal to bring that to the App Store. Adobe's creative Lightroom CC, the bad new version of Lightroom, will be on the App Store. But I can't imagine Adobe giving up $5 a month of their $15 subscription fee or whatever it is to Apple. So Apple must be making some side deals. They also must have changed the rules for the App Store, because people like Rich Siegel at Barebones Software very famously said, I can't make BB Edit on the iTunes Store. He actually pulled it, I believe it was on there, and he pulled it off because, or he had two different versions, because Apple doesn't let me do the things I need to do, particularly with the file system. I can't make a useful text editor and put it on the App Store. Panic pulled its Transmit FTP program off of the App Store. Same reason. And Apple announced that both Panic and Barebones were coming to the App Store again. So I don't, again, there are a lot of questions. These will be answered probably over the next week. Some developers will go to some of these events, even though they're NDA'd. I'm sure some of this information will leak out. Maybe Apple will explain. Have they loosened the restrictions on what you can do on the App Store? Or have these companies decided, well, it's better to be on the App Store with a stripped down application than not on the App Store at all? I don't know. A lot of questions raised by what was on the stage. Mm-hmm. No surprise at all that Apple spent some time, I think it was Craig Federighi, talking about privacy. Mm-hmm. Really doubling down on the fact that we are not Facebook, we are not Google, we're not Microsoft even. You can trust us with your data. They showed changes they're making to Safari to block things like the Facebook like button from collecting data about you. Facebook, we know, creates these shadow profiles of people, even if they're not Facebook members. And Apple's Safari is going to actively block that. And that is really a unique position for Apple. I doubt Microsoft would do that with Edge. I know Google wouldn't do it with Chrome. So that's something Apple can really say, hey, we're unique here. If you want privacy, we can do it. If you want security, we can do it. And I think that they, not unsurprisingly, spent some time on that on the keynote. My favorite part of the keynote, though, was the opening movie. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. Stephen Fry doing his best David Attenborough impression. As the animals, the developers emerge from their watering hole. If you get a chance, if you haven't seen it, go back to the beginning and watch it, because it was awful. I mean, awesome.
I like the end. I am a sucker for, you know, parents and partners and all the people that are, you know, talking about their loved one.
Who's that was cute. It was less. I was a little more annoyed by that. But anyway.
That's the difference between you and me.
I think the developers identify with it because anybody who's written software knows that's what their parents think. What are you doing in there? When are you going to ever come out? Why do your eyes look like that? That's one of the things is his eyes look. This is the App Store. It's on the Apple developer site, developer.apple.com/app-store/Mac. This is the new dark UI. I think app developers will be interested to see what kind of additional discovery features, how well the search will work. You know, I'm less worried about the dark UI. I'm more interested in making search work in these app stores. They've been traditionally terrible. But I'm sure these are all stuff developers are very interested in. Oh, yeah. Even easier for customers to find apps and games. Good.
Yeah. The Today tab on iOS App Store is so interesting. Like, I don't know exactly what they're doing. Like,
it's editorial.
Yeah. Like, I never sit down and read those articles.
We were talking about this on iOS Today last week. They have one for parents, what your kids are doing on Clash of Clans, a Clash of Clans tutorial, so you can understand what that game is that you keep hearing all day and night on your kids' phones. I think that's an interesting use of the App Store.
Yeah.
And I bet you we see stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
they said
there was going to be an editorial, and like they're turning it into a magazine.
Look at this. Behind the scenes, put a spin on it. How the developer of DJ Pro 2 masterfully. See, this is aimed at developers. They want this. This is huge. If you can get this kind of publicity from Apple, it'll double your numbers overnight. Mm-hmm. Office 365, that'll be very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think in a nutshell, that's what we saw today. 2 hours and some minutes of mostly nothing.
Well, it's
a few things.
It's stuff that we can't play with right now. I think the only thing available now is like the screensavers on Apple TV or something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Air Reels.
I like the screensaver. That's really beautiful.
The Aerials.
Aerials. They're available at... And something else is available at noon. Some new app. I was saying, where can I get that? And this came out at noon. I thank you all for joining us. I'm sorry there's no hardware. I personally apologize on behalf of everybody at Apple. They just couldn't give us new Macs. They couldn't give us new iPads. And no word at all about when they're going to appear. No word. I know developers would like to know more about the Mac Pro that's coming out next year. No word about that. Really, in some ways, more questions raised than answers today.
No AirPod 2s.
Yeah. And where's the wireless charger?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the wireless charger?
The AirPad.
Please stop the insanity, Tim. No. The Apple video is on YouTube. If you didn't see it, you can watch it there as well. Or just rewind to the beginning of this broadcast. Mm-hmm. I want to thank our sponsors, IT Pro TV, for really taking a flyer on this. They said, you know what, we're going to buy the whole thing. And thank you, IT Pro TV. You should check it out. They have a new address, go.itpro.tv/WWDC. Check it out. 7-day free trial, 30% off. And I love it that they're putting 57 hours of Apple IT training content up for free for anybody with a basic membership. Check that out at IT Pro TV. Thank you, Megan Maroney. I will see you again early in the morning tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. We'll cogitate all this stuff. We'll mix it up in our blender brains.
Yeah, and I'll try to find out more about iOS and tvOS and watchOS. Yeah. That's what we cover mm-hmm. on iOS Today tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, 1600 UTC at twit.tv/live. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.